Let's put everybody on, say hello, and just get things started.
Good morning, Remy.
Hello.
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 Hey. Well, it looks like we have not everybody logged on yet, so it may be a minute. If before we really begin, does anybody just want to chat about anything before we just jump in? Just raise your hand. One, okay. We have somebody.
Christina?
Good morning. Is it too early to share?
No, I think it's fine. People can listen to the recording later if they don't hear it now, but it's fine.
Oh, my gosh. I used a situation about not enough money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Point. And traced it back to an incident, and I'm not going to go into all the details. I dealt with a lot of hurt and anger,
mm-hmm.
and then I rewarded myself with the most wonderful, luxurious bath with candle lights in this big garden.
Yeah.
Got a great night's sleep, and then things started happening. They were little things like I went to walk the dogs,
mm-hmm.
put my hand in my coat pocket, and found $5.
Nice whisper.
Then a $3 off coupon off $30 at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a bike that we can't use that is almost like brand new, very expensive bike. We spent $35 for about a year ago. And we posted it a couple of months ago on Craigslist and then forgot about it, and somebody bought it for $200. Then I sat down at my computer and had gotten an email from a bank account balance, which I had forgotten that I had, and closed it out, and that was another $362. And then we had car problems. Our car was in the shop for over a month, and they finally determined, rather than rebuild or replace it, it needed a new engine. And so we were in looking for a car, and we lucked on a sweet 10-year-old Hyundai with 100,000 miles. Long story short, it needed a new transmission, so in addition to the cost of the car and the $1,000 for the transmission, it was still less than having our old car fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting $300 for our old car. We spent a lot less for the new car, and then Rick did some research and found out a possible problem. It didn't have fourth gear, but we were just going to drive it around, so we didn't have to put the $1,000 out of our pocket right now to get it fixed. Anyway, he brought it to the shop on Friday and saved us $1,000 because that turned out to be the problem and it doesn't need a new transmission. So that saved us $1,000. And then the cost of gas for every, say, 1,000 miles we drive it is going to be $1,000 savings because instead of 20 miles to a gallon, now we're getting 30. So it's just like the universe. I mean, the feeling after processing and the crying,
mm-hmm.
and everything and rewarding myself, the feeling of light, I can't describe it. I just felt so good. And ever since then, it's like, wow, the universe is just it's wonderful.
Well, you know, this is the thing. It's that when you have pain in your, let's just call it your pain body, the part of you that holds on to that pain, it has to express itself in your life. And then when you let go of that pain, it doesn't have to express itself. Now, there's a really interesting concept. I don't remember if I've talked about this before, but it's really valuable. Devin, you can add it to the notes at some point. It's called the light shadow. Everybody's pretty familiar with the concept of a dark shadow. In other words, all those things about yourself that you didn't want to have to feel or know about yourself, that dark stuff, face your shadow, all that stuff. That's the dark shadow. The light shadow is not discussed. Maybe Marian Williamson kind of described it briefly in one of her poems. But the idea is that all the beautiful, amazing, fantastic, wonderful, transformational qualities of yourself that you put aside, that you forgot about, that you left behind, that's your light shadow. And when you release that pain body, and you don't have to express that pain through the hologram of your life, through all the different things going on, then you can start accessing the light shadow and start receiving as opposed to just suffering. because this place wasn't always meant for just suffering. It was meant for the joy and the love and the transformation as well. And good work, and continue, and notice how your allowance levels will continue to open up, and the prosperity can just continue to heal, because healing the wallet is just as important as healing the hip or healing the relationship. It's all part of the healing process that we can experience.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you for sharing. That was beautiful.
Okay, let's hear from Julia.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm having difficulty. You talk about chasing pain.
Yeah.
And I'm having that experience with finding a root cause.
Mm, okay.
So I can trigger some pain reaction or some sorrow, but then as soon as I fix on that problem, it dissipates. The anger goes away, the hurt. So I can't bring up a good head of steam, so to speak, to get through to release.
Okay. What condition were you wanting to work on? What physical condition, if you started there?
I have diabetes. I'm losing my sight.
Okay.
My fingertips have lost sensation.
So you got all the symptom stuff going on.
Oh, my God. I've got a laundry list.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So we got that. And what emotional issue came up as the answer to that one that fit most closely?
I went through a divorce in 1990. But that relationship problem mirrors images right from childhood.
Right.
And what my mother calls benign neglect. And then I realized that I learned to neglect myself.
Yes. Okay, let's take a look.
Now, talking to you, that becomes a trigger, and it wasn't earlier.
Yeah, okay, that's really good. I think you're on track. So then the question is, how do you get through the depths of these emotions that seem to be stuck, right?
Yes.
Now, here's another way of thinking through conditions. And it's not one that I generally teach in the workshops, but it's something to consider in the back of your mind. What is diabetes in the most simplistic form? It's an issue with sugar, right?
And all the sweetness has gone out of my life.
Yes, the sweetness has gone out of your life, and so you become bitter, right? So here's the deal. Hypoglycemia is often too much sweetness because it's a defense mechanism to always be sweet.
Uh-huh.
And diabetes, I gave up on being sweet, and now I'm just bitter. Now, that may help you trigger the depth of that anger that made you have to get bitter.
Okay.
So I would really dive into that core pissed off that I had been neglected. I would just rage about the neglect. That's where it's really, that's the juicy part. Now, Gabriel Cousins wrote a book, and he was, you know, reversing type 2 diabetes. And so he has a retreat center, Eden Hot Springs, I think, something like that, Gabriel Cousins. And it's working. Some people did a movie about, I think they called it Simply Raw, but the first title on it was Raw for 30 Days. And they took all these people, like a handful, maybe 6 or 8 people who were really, they were mostly obese, and they had diabetes, and I think all but 2 of them got well. One of them ran away because he couldn't deal with the stress of not eating his sugar and such.
Uh-huh.
And another one who didn't get as well was sneaking alcohol during the retreat.
Yeah.
And those were the 2 that didn't succeed. But everybody else, and you know, and so I'm a big believer in using everything. Use the emotional process. And this is way off topic, and some people may not want to hear this, but there's a really great interview I just heard on a podcast, and you can also see it on YouTube, with a woman named Amber Lyon. She used to be a CNN reporter, and it's an interview with Joe Rogan. Uh-huh. And so you can watch it on YouTube. But what she did was she was carrying enormous amount of psychic pain around with her. She reported on like slave trade and all kinds of war zones and things for CNN and just got traumatized because she wanted to care about everybody. And she just took it all in on herself. And it was her own pain that she wanted to experience over and over again. And the way she freed herself was, you know, going to Peru and taking ayahuasca over and over again and just feeling all that grief and pain just welling up through her system and coming out, because we carry that stuff in our bodies, in our psyche. And she discovered spirituality as well, you know, undefinable spirituality. Really interesting stuff. And I'm a big believer, although I don't proselytize it, that that medicine, that taking the medicines can be very useful in really remembering who and what we are. So,
thank you.
You're so welcome, yes.
All right, let's hear from Anna Maria.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm mentally, intellectually, and in all ways I feel I'm in agreement and aligned with everything that I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as I've been working on this, I realize I have some blocks that came up.
Sure.
And I'm very surprised. And I would like to share it with you.
Please.
And see if you can assist.
Yeah.
I'm of European descent, Hungarian descent. Because, you know, some people say they're Japanese, and they have certain things in our culture that they believe, right? We all have some things that we're used to.
Yeah.
And one part that I've had a lot of difficulty with, even though I had success with this process, is that when it comes to calling up and saying that, you know, we're angry about something or whatnot, I have to say that no matter what has happened, I feel like if I go that far to blame a parent for something, then I feel like I'm a complainer. I feel like I don't have enough gratitude. I feel, how can I downplay a parent that committed their life to me and gave life to me, or
right?
And I feel like am I a spoiled brat? What is this? Am I a crybaby? Why can't I focus? I do focus on positive, and they only could do the best they could do, and they're amazing people. I'm very close to them, but they, you know, they did their best. And how can I turn around and dishonor that effort? And it's not their fault, even though I know they made choice. You know, like it could be like they said a word or, I don't know, something happened, you know, that we took wrong as a child. I don't know. And I'm having trouble. I feel like I can't go all the way.
I totally hear you. I totally hear what you're saying. And I understand that conflict. It's sort of like a circuit breaker. And if I let myself feel these things, then I've broken my contract and my agreement of my love and my parents and the loyalty and all that kind of stuff. It's a contract. You have a contract.
Just as you're saying that, I feel like my throat is welling up. I can't believe I'm feeling
This is the emotion that's inside there. You have a contract not to have to feel certain things because you love them. And it's a beautiful contract because it was based on love, but it wasn't honest.
But it just feels like that.
But it's just your honest expression. It's not about blame. It's about feelings. Feelings have a right to exist, period. And you don't have to give it a name. In other words, if somebody punches me in the head, it'll hurt. If somebody lies to me, it'll hurt. I'm in pain. I've been hurt. And if somebody lies to me, I'll probably be angry about it. It's not about blame, it's about expression of emotion. And you've short-circuited, it sounds like, yourself, so that you don't let yourself feel because you have no right to the emotions. Because if you do feel it, you'll be a complainer, you'll be a whiner, and so forth. When I was teaching in Japan, one man came up to me privately, and he said to me, "I am Bushido. my family, for generations, we do not feel emotion. And I said, to him, the greatest courage is self-honesty. And I knew the Bushido were warriors, and they believe in courage. Well, honesty is what's true, not what's right. It's what's true. Now, when I started doing my own emotional processing, I had a few friends, and we were kind of created a little group. We talk about our feelings and such. And I would feel like you, with a different twist to it, but my twist of feeling like I shouldn't be having these feelings was a different twist, but I'm not going to go into what that twist was because it doesn't matter. But I would feel like, and I would say out loud, I feel like I'm having, that my feelings are stupid. You feel like your feelings are wrong. I felt my feelings were stupid. And my friends, you know, would bounce it back to me and say, there's Richard with his beautiful feelings. Because it's our feelings that make us fully human, that bring us back alive again, that make us whole. And so these are really key issues. And so you have to, so the short circuit is that I'm not allowed to feel these things. They may be true. I may have actually had these feelings, but I had to bury them because I have a contract, and my contract is I'm not allowed to feel this.
I learned from actually my mother, maybe both of them.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing the words. If I asked them again, they'd probably tell me the same way, and it's their way of supporting me.
Yes.
If I would experience trauma or hardship,
mm-hmm.
or something difficult, or let's say a death, somebody died.
Yeah.
Then my mom has a matter-of-fact way of looking at it, and in their view, if you allow yourself to succumb, you have to understand things are a part of life and you have to move on. And
yes.
if you allow things to affect you to the point where you fall apart, you won't survive. And they've been through war, they've been through all sorts of things, right? Because they're older,
sure.
They're in their 80s.
Yeah.
And so I understand how they had to use that mechanism to survive.
Exactly.
We don't have wars here in Canada. We're so lucky.
Yes.
You know, but who can I be to say that their way is wrong when that's what kept them alive in a depression or in a famine place or in a war zone or whatever they had going on, World
mm-hmm.
War I, World War II.
Yeah.
So how can I say that it's not correct?
We don't have to. You don't have to say it's not correct. You just have to look to see what's right for you.
Right. In this time. I don't have to go and...
Yeah, you're not in a war. You can collapse for an hour, and then you can pull yourself back together.
Right.
You don't have to be that strong. If a child dies, you can collapse. You can feel it. You can cry. You can grieve. You can be fully yourself. You don't have to be that strong every second that you're not allowed to feel what's really true for you emotionally. That's the bottom line here.
Okay.
I mean,
in
a war zone, you have to, you know, the soldier who sees his friend suddenly get killed right in front of him, he's not allowed to say, well, I need some time to process this. It's not that type of situation. You've got to be strong, move on, and then maybe a day or a week later or a month later, you let yourself feel the emotions, but most people don't, and they're traumatized forever. But you're not in that situation anymore. You're not in a war. There's no tsunami.
But as we are here and I'm taking this training and I'm receiving all these benefits and all these wonderful things,
yes.
I find conflicted, again, just like the CNN announcer you spoke
about. Yes, yes.
Even though I'm not a reporter, like I try not to, but I do look at, you know, some things that are going on in the world and
yeah.
I hear some terrible ways that people are being killed. And I inside I feel like like if I was allowed to be 110% happy, if it was
yeah.
possible, that maybe I should only allow like 60% because how can I be 110%, you know,
when others are suffering? Yeah.
Because everyone else is suffering. So
well, we live in a Yeah, this is really important because it has to do with guilt. And how dare you be happy when the world is suffering? How dare you? How dare you be fully functional? But I know, but that's not the issue. Let's stay with the issue. The issue is, how dare you be happy when the world is suffering so much? And we live in a world where there's too many people to be compassionate toward everybody and to feel everything. We would be in total overwhelm if we let ourselves feel the pain that's all around us. And then you bring up the issue of, how dare I be happy knowing how much suffering is around me? But truly, how can you be of service to the suffering if you're not whole? In other words, if your pockets are empty, who can you give to? If you are depleted of your reserves and you're only operating at 60%, how much do you have to give? If you were at 110%, you'd be overflowing with giving. So what we have to do in order to care about others is to fill our own account and care about ourselves first. We have to be, that's not really selfish, because loving yourself is the ultimate way of filling your account so you can give to others. If you have nothing in your account, you have nothing to give. You don't see homeless people handing out $10 bills. Well, occasionally you do, but it's very rare.
I really thought I had dealt with this. I thought I had it covered.
Yes.
I've been on my way with my work and my abilities, and you can call them gifts, people call them different things. But and I really thought that I handled that, but I guess now that I've plunged into this again, with this work and from this angle of our intellect and our mental capacity is also involved, I felt myself do really well with the mental part and the intellectual, and I went into it physically. But then when we were away from the call, when I was away from the group, then other stuff came up that won't come up the same way when we're listening to you and really taking it in. It's after that just other things creep out of the woodwork.
Exactly.
that I thought was handled. Here I am.
Here you are. Well, the thing is, we always start with where we are, and we don't try to be different than that. Because as soon as we're trying to be more than we are, and we're not just being where we are, we're not being real. And then we lose a piece of ourselves through that non-reality.
Yes. I just wish I could catch it when it's happening.
It's practice. But that remorse, the remorse that you're expressing right now is extremely healthy because it's a desire to be better. And that's a wonderful thing.
Is it remorse about myself, or is it my remorsing about others?
Well, you catch it in the moment, that remorse. To be spontaneously real with yourself, that remorse.
Yes.
Yeah, that. And I did that. I had an experience this week where I was feeling pretty down and I was trying to impress somebody and I felt like I made a jerk of myself. I was being a jerk. And I looked at it later and go, oh my God, look what I did. Because I just wasn't willing to, I didn't think myself was enough at that moment. And I got it. I got the message loud and clear and I feel so much better now that I don't have to put on pretense. I don't have to try to be something I'm not.
Honestly, I really thought that I don't put on a pretense, so I'm going to try and wrap my head around this.
Well,
understand, or my heart. I'm going to wrap my heart around it.
Yeah, it's not the kind of pretense that most people think about pretense. It's just letting yourself in on the depth of everything you're feeling. That's all.
Okay. So thank you, Sue. My heart goes out to you again.
Thank you. Okay, good.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, this is our time to really look at the work, wrestle with it. And if anybody has any massive success stories, I'd love to hear them too, because it really helps inspire everybody to know what's possible. All right, who's next?
Okay, let's hear from Tammy.
Hello, Richard.
Hello.
I have two things. Well, I only had one when I started on hold, but I have two now. The first is I sent my information to Devin because I'd really like to connect with other people who are in the class.
Good.
And maybe practice with each other. So I wanted to hopefully have that reminder sent out to everybody if they want to participate too. And the second thing is that just listening to everybody speak, and thank you to you and everybody who's gotten on and shared, I actually feel like I'm having a release right now from all of that that's happening, because it feels like having, I've only worked on two issues. The second one I just did like yesterday, because I wanted to do another one before the call. And it was something I didn't even realize existed, like other people have mentioned, and it came up. But I almost feel like I've opened some kind of floodgate now by doing this work, and just listening to other people express is actually making me tear up, and just things are like emotions are coming up, and it's amazing. So I just wanted to share those two things.
Fantastic.
And thank everybody else for sharing.
Yeah, and have you noticed things shifting in your life, like the outer reality or your symptoms or anything else, having done a couple processes?
Actually, like in the middle of the week, I felt, because I did one, you know, last weekend when we were doing the work, and I actually felt like I was disassociated with myself in the middle of the week, like I was in a funk or something. And it just felt like, I don't know, I wasn't really my normal excited self, but it felt like things are moving or are releasing, and it feels like, it actually feels like something that's really wonderful that's occurring. So I'm just going with it and letting it do its thing.
Well, we're giving birth to our true self, our true identity, because the dishonesty prevents us from seeing who we really are.
And that's interesting, because the thing that came up for me yesterday was hiding, was like covering myself up and not really showing who I am. And I thought I was doing that, because I do this work, energy work, all the time. And I've actually come out to associate with people I went to high school with and all sorts of things. And I talk about this. This is who I am. This is my life. It's not separated from a job, or this is who I am.
Yeah.
And it shocks some people, but I really thought I was coming out. And to have that revelation yesterday that I'm actually hiding behind a mask of, you know, and not letting the world or myself see who I really am. So,
well, here's an interesting side note on that, which is that when we try to be something that we're not really, usually it's because we have that quality that we're trying to exaggerate. In other words, if somebody is, let's just say, very compassionate, their negative ego will try to say, I'm the most compassionate person in the world. And then they lose their compassion. Or I'm the smartest person, or I'm the... In fact, I did an exercise with this years ago that I think people would really enjoy hearing about that ties into this.
Okay.
I had people write down on a slip of paper what their secret better than judgment was about themselves. And don't put their name on it, right? So one person says, I'm the most loving, I'm the most giving, I'm the most kind, I'm the most generous, I'm the most intelligent, I'm the most whatever, most spiritual, most sensitive. Those are the kind of answers I got from people, right? And I walked around the room with a wastebasket and collected them all. And then, one by one, I read them, and we laughed at every one of them, because the most loving person, how loving is it to think you're more loving than everybody else? And how compassionate is it to think you're more compassionate? How sensitive to assume that other people aren't as sensitive to you? How intelligent is it to assume that everybody's less intelligent? And in other words, they were all lies. All these better-than judgments were dishonest. And when people could see and laugh at their own better-than judgment and realize, you know, the person who's sensitive actually was a very sensitive person. That's why they felt that way. But instead of just being the very sensitive person, the negative ego wanted to make it, I'm the most sensitive. So when we're actually hiding behind our good qualities, often they really are our good qualities, but we try to exaggerate them a little bit, and make them more than they are, and that becomes the problem.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay,
well, thank you for that.
Sure.
Okay, let's hear from Yuki.
Oh, yay.
Hey, Yuki.
Okay, give me just a second. Hi, I'm just going to put you on, like, take you off speaker. Give me 1 second. So I actually went through the process twice,
mm-hmm.
like fully because I had to. And the first time I worked with what we discovered about my mom, and I processed some anger and I wrote the letter. The neat thing about the letter for me was when I read it, I actually did it for a third day when I read it at the
mm-hmm.
end.
Yeah.
I was so reviled about how angry I felt that I had to burn it.
Wow.
Because I couldn't believe that level of anger could be in me, and it just had to be gone. So
well,
that was really interesting.
That's really interesting that it was about that you would feel that much, not that's what you felt. Well, that's very interesting, yeah.
Well, I'd done it the first time, and I realized that the second pass, I was still being polite. I wasn't
yeah.
really, and so I mean, the last two pages, you know, my writing is so big, almost illegible. They're like exclamation marks all over the
yeah,
page.
Yeah, right,
when I was reading
right,
it later.
Good.
It made me, you know, I just had to burn it. The sadness thing, I can cry for 20 minutes without even, like, batting my eye, I swear to
wow.
God. But the first time I did it, I realized in it that not only, you know, was I carrying the abuse or neglect, so to speak, of my parents, because not like they
mm-hmm.
ever were physically truly abusive.
Right.
I realized in that I understand why I don't stand up for myself.
Mm.
I understand why I don't put myself first. So that was
yes.
huge, and that came out of the crying. Where all of a sudden it's like, oh my God. So like shifting into the remorse on that was really quite interesting.
Mm.
And my jaw automatically started to feel better. Like
wow.
I could feel the tension unwinding in my jaw. And I realized that it was interesting when I did the forgiveness and the self-love in that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember by the time I got the last sort of giggling, just sort of like being happy about it.
Yeah.
But I went through a couple of days of thinking, oh my God, this is still, there's something still out in there. And then the replays came up.
Yeah.
And I had issue with the phone calls a couple of times where the phone would also just randomly drop, which is very annoying.
Oh.
But I missed the thing that Christine had said when she had talked about the emotions could be positive. And you were like, yes, they could. Absolutely, absolutely. But you had said, and I didn't hear this on the day. I heard it afterwards,
mm-hmm.
A couple of days later. You had said, you know, if you're suppressing love and gratitude, it's really, really dangerous.
Yes.
And I realized that not only do I not think I'm lovable, like that was the issue,
yeah.
I've also been completely unable to express my love for anyone because I don't think it's good enough. And I didn't,
yeah.
I mean, so that sent me on a whole other level. Like I just had to cry for, like I don't even know what, if there's an instant, I think that's more like a theme thing. And just did a whole other 20-minute crying with that, just thinking,
wow.
Oh, my God, like, no wonder. Because I can't, no wonder I do what I do and I care so much and I'm so perfect about everything and giving. And, like, my brain just works that way. I can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's overcompensating for the idea that my love might just be enough by itself. Or that it isn't enough by itself. So that to me was huge because it's, all of the years of self-work I've done, it never occurred to me that I was suppressing love. Like, I
yeah.
get that I don't receive it,
right.
but it never occurred to me. So that, to me, was huge. But I discovered when I was trying to work through the remorse, the forgiveness on that, I have a resistance still to the loving of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the part where all of a sudden I would get up and I wouldn't really, and it'd be like, you're, there's resistance there. You're still not letting yourself love yourself as much as you could. And the other thing I realized with the reimagination
yeah.
is mm-hmm. that I was having trouble sitting in the energy of the reimagination. Like, there's no problem with the saying what needs to be said in my head in the imagination, but the trying to change the past part, I think the logical part of my brain is just like, don't be stupid, that can't be done. So there's like an inner resistance to that.
Right.
And so what I find is that I'm subconsciously doing a lot of work. Like Wednesday night, I woke up enraged with the guy that I just broke up with. Like
right.
screaming, could have killed him if he had been here. And I'm thinking, okay, that's it. That's what the meditation, that's the energy you need right there. And I'm in my sleep because it was 5 in the morning trying to run a meditation in my sleep because I understand it. And to work it out, and I'm trying to imagine him being understanding and giving it all of this stuff and trying to rework it. And I couldn't, it was hard. It was, it took hours because I wasn't really awake, but I couldn't really sleep. And so then yesterday, all of a sudden, out of the blue, something happened where I kind of felt like I was sitting in the energy of what it would be like if, in fact, our relationship went the way I wanted and we were loving and caring and still together and perfect. And there was this, I'm thinking, which I sort of tap on with my mother, but it hasn't quite. But this morning, I have to tell you, I had the most, again at around 5 in the morning, I kind of woke up and I had this sense of still trying to sit with that. And I kind of just sat in it. And all of a sudden, I went through this whole thing where the inside of me felt so much bigger than the outside of me. And I could just feel all of me expanding. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's the self-love, but it's like just sit. And I remember thinking, wow, I'm just so big. Like it was a really, really interesting experience. Even though getting up in the morning, I know subconsciously still I struggle with the self love part and or loving of self part, like on that conscious level, it sort of seems like it's in there in my body somehow, and it's working its way through that way.
It sounds like it's coming right through you. It sounds like it's in process, and when you actually,
I would definitely say it's in process.
Yeah, it's processing. It's working through you. You know, you're feeling that expansion, that presence of who you are. And when you get through the forgiveness process and you sit with yourself and you just go through the motions of doing the I love you, I love you, I love you, you know, forgiveness into self-love, you may be surprised at how overwhelming that experience can become. And what's lovely about what you're saying is the level of surprise that you're continuing to experience during the process. You know, we're peeling the layers off the onion and we're opening ourselves up to what's under the surface. And of course it's going to be a bumpy road sometimes, but this is how it works. And congratulations on the progress you're making.
Thank you. I have two questions that have popped up in my head with regards to this, because I understand now when I look at it, the patterns that I'm repeating in my life and that certain people are coming in and certain situations are almost verbatim repeating where I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
But my question would be how, like this guy that I'm in the middle of the sort of breakup or whatever we're going through, my ego hates him, fully admits, and wants to, and is mad at me for even caring about him. My soul loves him, almost unconditionally, where I'm like, for the love of crap. And so I get through all this, and I'm thinking, you know, it's all going to be fine. Like, why? Just, it's fine. Like, there's a whole other level of that I usually get that's just missing. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it is what it is. But my question is how. Because you've talked a lot about the effect, when you work on the people, the effect that they're having on others around them, but what is my part in their life? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, is there not a corollary going on as to why I'm in someone's life and they're in mine versus
me? That gets extremely complicated.
Okay.
That gets extremely complicated when you try to figure out why it is for somebody else's reality. It's hard enough to figure out your own. And and what will happen is when we change, either they change to join us or they become polarized and move away. So either he'll say, hey, I really like this new version of you. I really appreciate how you're helping me give space to be who I really am too. Or I can't stand this, and I'm out of here. So it usually polarizes the situation, so people either get closer or they separate. Because a lot of people have contracts with each other, and the contract says, I will never talk about this, and you will never talk about this, so we will never talk about this, and so as long as we keep our rules together, then we can be, you know, maintain peace. But as soon as you broach the topic and open up the door to this stuff, that violates the contract. And And either they choose to grow with you or they choose to grow in a different direction or just leave. And that's generally how it works. And I've seen this happen many times in relationships where one of the partners, usually the woman, but not always, chooses to be on a spiritual path, and the other one, I don't want to go down that road. And it just creates more and more tension and friction between them. I don't know if that's anything to do with what you're going through. Usually when people get that angry, there's some dishonesty going on. But that's another story.
Okay, thank you, Yuki. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
We have Janet.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I have a question as I am trying to practice this with other people and mm-hmm. assessing their inventory and whatnot.
Yeah.
Could you tell me what it means to have stomach or digestive pain? And
all right. Let's just look at it from the simplest point of view. First off, we're developing a practitioner program now in Quantum Touch where we're developing what it means to be a self-created health coach. So it isn't like automatically you took the class, now you can figure out everybody's stuff and work with them and be their counselor, but we're working on what the program is going to be to let that happen. Now,
mm-hmm.
remember how we looked at diabetes and it had to do with sweetness,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, what do you do with your digestive system? You digest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're always going to be talking about emotions. So if the jaw is speaking emotion, and the digestion is digesting emotion, and constipation is holding on to emotion, right? Everything
okay.
is emotion, so you just take the part of the body, figure out what it does, and add the word emotion, and that's the generalized paint-by-number approach to figuring out what the issue is. Now, I didn't teach that, did I? I didn't really say, okay, we're going to paint by number, and if you have knee pain, it means you're not flexible, or, you know, we didn't go there. And back pain is generally about support because the back supports you, and it's usually financial or emotional support issues. That's the generalized way of thinking through these things. Head pain, I don't want to think about that, right? Or it's, you know, pain,
mm-hmm.
you know, pain in my neck, pain, maybe pain in the neck kind of thing. Or I prefer a much deeper answer about neck pain. The neck functionally, you look at the function of the neck, what does the neck do? It allows you to look left, right, up, or down, right? That's what the neck does, and it supports your head. But when you look to the left and look to the right, you're making choices. So sometimes neck pain has to do with painful choices. But that's too simplistic. It's often true, but it's too simplistic to get to. It's kind of a very broad target, like, you know, what I say, the side of a barn. But it isn't like that little spot on the barn that I want to hit specifically. So anyway, that's the generalized idea about digestive disorders.
Okay. Any idea when that program is going to be ready?
We're working on it right now. Devin, have you heard about what's going on in that one at all?
No.
I think it's mostly...
All I know is that we're working on it, but I don't know where we're at.
Yeah, it's mostly Henry and Jennifer, and I'm kind of included a little bit, although I hate programs. I like the work. I hate figuring out how to institutionalize it, trying to figure out the model. But stay tuned, watch the newsletters, and we'll really take people through so that they know the stuff so well and they're so good at it and their compassion is right there. And all the other ramifications of being a counselor. We really want people to have the highest levels of integrity and responsibility if they're going to be working with other people's emotions.
Mm-hmm. By the way, if you follow the thread on Facebook for SCH, someone has created like a support group. It's got the website. It's uppercase SCH.
Okay.
Space classmates. Judy somebody, but anyway, it's on the thread for SCH for people to talk about. I hope that's okay to say that, but it's on the Facebook page. So
okay, I do see it. I'll look up SCH here. I'm not really finding it. If you could send us the link, that would be appreciated.
Well, it's just on the Facebook page for self-created help. It's probably the last entry.
Okay.
I haven't gone there either, but since we're on the conversation, yeah, we have a Facebook group page, a self-created health Facebook group page, and Jody had mentioned maybe having a private group for people who have actually, because some of the people that asked to be a part of this group have not actually taken self-created health. So she's created a private page. I haven't gone to it myself.
Yeah, here we are. Yeah.
Do you see it?
Yeah, I do. It's an open group.
And
yeah.
She said she's going to be working with the settings. I didn't see her name. Let me see if she's on the call real quick. Jody, do you want to say anything about the page?
Sure. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
you're
we do.
On. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi there. Okay, I had attempted to make one, and I came across some operator error. So the other girl that was commenting on it, Yuta is her name. She actually was successful in creating one. And it's just the uppercase SCH and then class members. And then I originally had a slash and mine didn't work, and she created hers without a slash.
Okay.
So it's supposed to, it should be a closed group, so that way, like somebody had mentioned before, as far as going through this stuff and just needing some support along the way, and I just didn't want to make it public so the whole world could see it, you know, so that way
you
could have a safe place, yeah.
That's nice. I like it.
So if you can't find it, you're on Facebook and you want to join the group and you can't find it, go ahead and email me and I will send you the link. And then same thing, if you want, I had a couple people send their emails to work with other participants, but if you want to work with the other participants one-on-one, maybe you're not on Facebook, that is possible, then just send me an email and give me your information because I can create a list and include your name on it for the exchange. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jody. Thank you, Uta. And Janet, were you all set with Richard?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you very much.
Oh, great.
Well, just one more thing. I think this is the most significant thing I've come across. It's like I've been waiting for about 18 years, and I'm very excited to contemplate trying to become a practitioner, and I'm not sure what criterion you're looking for because you talk about wanting to work with people with the highest ethics and highest standards, and I'm not sure.
Well, it's not just that. We're wanting to make sure that we're going to also be creating something where we're going to be integrating the quantum touch with the self-created health, because
mm-hmm.
some people have been finding that if we do have counselors, or actually maybe that's not the right word, but that might be it. I don't know. But self-created health coaches might be the right word.
Mm-hmm.
What we're finding is when people are actually using level 2 quantum touch with the person you're working with, it seems to be helping to open the door a tremendous amount on their processing. We might actually have people sitting with them while they're doing their processing and holding their hand in the process. And we're figuring out protocols and ways about doing this most effectively. And we're going to be training people to be effective coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to just take it, okay, people took a workshop, now go counsel people. You know, we don't want to go that route because it doesn't feel like it's being responsible enough, although that's going to happen to some extent. We'd really rather have people who are professionals. And so we're trying to do a good job of that.
The beauty with self-created help versus quantum touch level 1 is you don't have to have the insurance waivers and whatnot for not doing body work or hands-on. Quantum touch 2, I don't know if you hold somebody's hand, if that's considered body work or not.
Well, I was saying metaphorically hold their hand.
Okay, sure. Because quantum touch level 2 believes that. Because you can do
exactly.
it digitally or remotely or just with them right in front of you without having to put hands on it. It's
there's no need for it. But
yeah.
I call it hand-holding when you're kind of walking a person through a process.
Of course. Okay,
yeah.
I get it now. Thank you.
Yeah. Because if I just say, okay, do this, you know, do this step, go home and process, you know, it's like, well, maybe, maybe not, right? But if I'm sitting there with a person, walking them through everything, it's okay, now let yourself go here, you know, and see what happens.
Richard, I'd just like to add that most likely we will require documentation of, you know, even the application of self-created health on yourself. So, Janet, if you want to document the things that you've you self-created health on, I'm sure we're going to want documentation. You can start doing that now. So maybe by the time we that is all in place, you've already covered that part of the requirement.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to. I don't think we're going to have to go into it. Oh, go ahead.
Are you talking about issues for yourself?
Probably, yeah. No, okay. You don't have to go into too much detail, but just to know that you've done your work.
Right, right.
Yeah. And okay, I think one of the things, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to talk about things a little different. Go ahead. Finish
I'm
up.
I'm done. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think one of the things I really appreciate about this work is that we don't have to hear all the stories. We don't have to take all our time just telling stories about how bad it was. We can just say, oh yeah, there was the issue of neglect. That was the story, okay? We get the idea. And now the really interesting thing is how you transform and where you get stuck and how you can break through. That's the interesting part.
Okay, let's move on. Diana.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, like a lot of people I've been listening to here, I've been having problems with big blocks as I've been trying to work through my process. And I'm not sure where to go with it. You know, at first I thought it was working through my divorce.
Yeah.
But then as I started doing that, I realized it was deeper.
Yeah.
So it went all the way back to my mother.
Right.
And I have a lot of feelings about that that I thought I'd worked out. But there's something I cannot reach that's way beyond that. That is, I don't know how to get there.
Okay. So what's the title of the issue you're working with?
Let's see.
We started with giving it, you know, a name. What condition? It could be a body condition. It could be, you know, something. But where are we starting from?
My back.
Okay. Back. And what did you find? What was the answer that you came up with?
You know, it started with my back and with my my divorce. I thought that was it, but it wasn't it. It was just kind of another thing that came from my relationship with my mother.
Okay. And so what was Mom doing that was so upsetting?
I think it's more what she, a lot of it was what she wasn't doing that I can.
Okay, well, yeah, that's often it. It was what wasn't happening, not just what was happening, that could be so troubling. So what was happening? I mean, what wasn't happening that was troubling?
Well, I guess she was in, an age where, you know, people didn't express their feelings or emotions, and she
okay.
was very distant. She never, I don't know, there's just nothing there. I don't know how else to say
okay,
it.
So she wasn't giving you the love or the support that you needed.
Never answered any of my questions.
Yeah. So she. Okay. So what did I say a moment ago about back? You know, the simple answer about back is emotional or financial support, and you weren't receiving what you needed, right?
Yeah, I'm not following you.
Okay, well, if Mom is giving you nothing, you're not getting the support you need.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Well, that's
or
it.
Love or
yeah. Yeah, you're not getting what you needed. and so that could be a back issue. So what happens when you try to process it?
I go through, I can think of all kinds of things, because in some way or another, I've been trying to work through this for a long time.
Yeah.
But I just get, it just stops.
Okay, what stops?
I'm trying to remember.
Well.
What was happening.
Okay. But you know the general story, right?
Uh-huh, right.
Okay. And so releasing the intensity of those emotions that have been blocked up must be hard to do because you're finding it so difficult to access it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So what you need to do is to kind of, it's again breaking a contract, because people in your family were not intensely expressive of their emotions in a self-actualizing way. You didn't get to see anybody really be that angry in a way that was about love.
Right, that was just my mother.
Yeah.
Everybody else in my extended family were just total opposites.
Yeah, okay. So you just need to access all your power to go back to the time when you were that 6 or 10 or 11-year-old or whatever it was, that you
mm-hmm.
really noticed that mom wasn't giving you what you needed. Don't, and I think I may have just intuited what the issue was. You cannot process this as an adult. You don't have those emotions anymore. Mom probably died, or she's not around anymore. And
right.
So that's, it just seems silly for you as an adult at this time of your life to be processing stuff about mom, but the 8-year-old doesn't feel that way at all. The 8-year-old, it's right happening now for her. So you cannot process this as the adult. You need to go back to become the 8-year-old and let her do the processing. Let her be the one who throws the chair. Let her be the one that grabs her by the collar and says, "Mom, stop being this way. Show your love. I know you love me. Stop this." And just get really intense with her. That's the part that needs to do the processing, not the adult, because the adult
okay.
doesn't have the juice anymore. It's an old, tired story. The adult has no interest in anymore at all. It's the child that has the juice, the adolescent. That's the one that needs to grab mom and talk. And you may need to process it from different ages. The child, the older child, the adolescent, the young adult, all of them may need to express it in their own way. And then I think you can free it up. I think that'll help you a lot.
Yeah, I think it will. Thank you.
Sure, you bet.
Okay, can we hear from Carol?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
thanks, Richard, for this wonderful process.
Thank you.
I'm having problems of finding the root causes of things.
Okay.
But before I go into that, I'll just tell you how I know that this is a very powerful system and it works, because I think maybe a day or so after we had the first session, I had a very, very painful ear. It was in my early morning meditation, actually. It kept coming back to me and quite painful. So I was going through my usual process of thinking, well, what's this about? It must be that I'm not hearing something
mm-hmm.
that I need to hear, or I'm not listening
yeah.
to something. But answers didn't come. And I'm still in my meditation, and I just thought, okay, well, what image do I get when I think of this? And immediately I had this vision of a kind of like, was almost like an instrument of torture, just like a vice pressing from my head down to my chin on one side of the face, which was the side that the ear was on, and it was metal, and it was red, so it was a very powerful image. It took me aback because it was so sudden, it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it wasn't covering the ears. It was more about the jaw and the head. And I realized
yeah.
that actually, it wasn't that I wasn't hearing something, it was that I felt I wasn't being heard. And so my jaw was shut because I wasn't allowed to open my mouth, and then my head was clamped because it was so full of all of the thoughts that I'd had about this, you know, not being able to speak out.
Yeah.
And so that was quite a revelation to me. And I'm still sitting in my meditation, so I'm thinking, well, I don't know what process I've got to go through to read this, because I don't have my notes with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I just sat with it for a while, and I kind of allowed myself to feel some of the emotions, and just for a while, and I don't even know how long that was. But after that, it seems to have cleared the situation quite a bit, because now when I spoke to the same person,
yeah.
and usually I have a big problem with them, because as soon as I open my eyes to say something, I'm talked over. You know, she'll talk over me, and I feel I can't say what it is I need to say.
Yeah.
The situation is still there, but it's much, much less, and it doesn't trigger me in the same way. It doesn't trigger that, you know, feeling inside of me. So that was great to know that, even though I hadn't been through the whole process. It was
right.
really powerful.
So you
now,
just saw with one
yeah.
piece that you were able to just transform it. That's great.
Yeah, yeah, really. And it just the image was so powerful. That was the most incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I had an experience one time where I was back in the early 80s, and I was about to put a record on the turntable, and the turntable was on kind of like a shelf, and I was reaching up to put the record on, and all of a sudden I felt this excruciating pain in my back. I mean, I wasn't doing anything, you know, physically demanding, and I just fell to my knees, and it was so painful. And then I had been working on the self-created health stuff at this time, and I thought to myself, all right, what's been excruciatingly painful? And I realized that I had decided not to feel some emotion anymore about a relationship breakup that I had been in. I didn't want to have to feel it anymore. And I realized I was still feeling it. So I let myself feel those intense emotions. And before I got up, I was thinking I'd probably have to go to the hospital because the pain, I realized it was kidney pain. It wasn't back pain, it was kidney pain. And I thought, oh, my God, I must have some, like, really bad infection or something. And as soon as I got up after expressing the emotions, the pain was gone and never came back again. And so just in the moment, it's possible to access what something is about, transform it back into its real emotion again, and have it healed. So that's a very powerful thing you were doing. So you want to find a core issue. Is that what I'm understanding? Hello? Have we lost the connection here?
It looks like it.
Okay. Well, maybe she'll... Is she still on the line? I wasn't looking at the board.
I wasn't looking either. I totally forgot what the name was.
Okay. Yeah, I was just...
Sorry.
Hello? Are you back?
No, I don't see her.
I thought that was her for a second. Okay, well, we'll get back to her as soon as she, as soon as we figure out who that was. I was taking notes. Oh.
Hello.
Was Carol?
Yeah, Carol, are
Hello?
You back? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I do now, but you were gone for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, the call dropped, and then I was talking to you, and you weren't hearing me.
Okay, yeah, I was not hearing you. So what were you saying? Please talk to me.
Okay. Yes, okay. So I was telling you about the incident, and I think you heard that bit. About
no, I didn't. I didn't. I heard about the meditation you did with the vice, but
yeah.
I didn't hear anything
yeah,
beyond
yeah, yeah.
that.
Okay, so that's as far as I got. But what I really wanted to ask you about, I'm really struggling to find the root causes of things. And there was one issue that I worked on with my partner,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I'd got to the root cause, and actually when I kind of worked through it later, it didn't really fit. And in fact, I went through the same process again. I got a friend to ask me the questions, and
yes.
I came up with lots of answers, and it just didn't kind of seem to fit. And I'm wondering whether I just jumped to a conclusion about that's what it was because it was obvious or
okay.
what. But when I try to think of something else that happened at the same time, I just really cannot
well when I say
anything.
when I say the same time, it's very generalized.
Yeah.
It's not the exact same time. It's within a framework. It could even be a few years earlier. But what happens is when we're feeling the emotion, a lot of times the body doesn't have the need to show it as a symptom. But when we decide that I don't want to have to feel that emotion anymore, that's when the symptom usually comes up. So sometimes it could be like a year or two or more later.
Right.
But the themes are still valid. So even if it wasn't exactly the right issue, you're getting closer just by looking at the themes. Did you see themes that were significant?
Kind of, yes. But I would say that I couldn't pinpoint a year even when this thing started
if you can't pinpoint a year, it's more of a lifelong issue. And if it's
I'd say anything between 10 years, I don't know.
For the last 8 or 10 years, you've had this issue.
Yeah. And it's just something like fatigue. It's not fatigue. It's like exhaustion. It just comes and it goes. And then it's there for a while, and then for months it disappears. So it's very hard to pinpoint.
That does make it more difficult. But at the same time, if you look at what's been going on in your life in the last 10, 12 years that is just emotionally exhausting to you.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
It kind of fits. I don't know whether I'm trying to make it fit, but then there are so many other things that don't fit. So I'm just not sure whether I'm trying too hard or I don't know.
Well, it's really hard to know with this vague kind of description. Yeah.
Okay, can I just say something else, actually? I tried
Please.
It again today on another with something which just happened 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I had a problem with my eye, like a slightly detached retina.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, this has got to be so easy to grasp because it was only a few weeks ago. But actually, still, I cannot. I've gone through the questions myself, and I can't pinpoint what it is.
Well, it's really hard to do it on yourself. And why don't I think working with somebody else in this group would make it a lot easier because I tell you, most people have a very hard time figuring this stuff out on their own, and then it becomes really easy to help other people find the emotional causes.
Right.
So what I suggest is everybody who once we have all the hands down at some point during this call, or maybe at the very end of it, Devin can have people raise their hands if they want to be on a mailing list and share with everybody. In fact, it might just be good to send an email to everybody on this call and say, do you want to be in a group mailing list? You can share contact information, and then you can send everybody a link to of the people who responded, who say, please share my email with other people in the group. And then you'll have a lot of people to work with who would enjoy helping you find emotional cause. Quite specifically,
that
would be good. Because if you just exaggerate all the replies, exhaustion, I'm emotionally exhausted about something, which means that I'm not being angry about something that just continues in the background. It just continues happening again and again and again. It just keeps tiring me out. And it's not all the time. It's just enough of the time. So imagine the frustration or the anger, whatever emotion you actually feel about being exhausted, the hopelessness of it or the frustration of it or whatever it is. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but that's the kind of energy you want to bring to it. And be curious. Just be curious and let the answers flow because they are there.
I think it doesn't help that I have a very bad memory. And I think I know sometimes the two parts of my brain don't seem to connect well. Therapists have told me this. I don't know if that's just I'm not remembering or what. Anyway.
Well,
that's helpful.
Come to you. It will come to you, believe me.
All right, thank you so much. Can I just ask one quick question?
Of course.
how long, it's just about the replay links, how long will they be up for? Because I see they're not downloadable.
Really?
I don't think so.
Devin, what's going on here?
No. The page is up indefinitely. So you do have to use that link, username, and password.
They should be up there, and you should be able to listen to the replays for as long as you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I just opened them in the email, but it's a page on the website, is it? I can go to.
The email with the class notes, so we sent it out twice, and the first time it just said class notes. The second time it said replay and class notes. If you didn't get that, email me.
I did, I did. But I thought maybe the link might be up for a limited time. But if they're there, then that's great.
No, it's up indefinitely. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome, sure.
Okay, let's hear from Akiko.
Akiko.
Hi, Richard. Hi, everybody. Let's see. Like I said last week, I had a pretty immediate release and with my ankle and a lot of anger coming out that I didn't realize I had. And throughout the week, it was actually wonderful. I felt like the feelings I had with my ankle was being out of balance and feeling weak.
Yeah.
And I felt so strong, and I was riding my bike and feeling so good. And it lasted until today.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, yesterday, I got my twinged my mid back, and for some reason, and my ankle this morning while I was going down the stairs, and I didn't have much time to do the process, but I was trying to feel what's going on. I didn't feel any recurring issues or feelings or any events happening. I guess I'm wondering.
Here's what's going on. Lot of times we do wonderful process work. We do really good work. So you give it an A for the work you've done. But there may be aspects to it or angles of it or things about it that you didn't notice or see the first time.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's like a crystal that has many sides to it. And you did great work on this one facet of the crystal, but it's got lots of facets. And if just as a quick, thing we could just try for a second, if you were to come up with a fantasy image of what's going on with your back and ankle or whatever part that felt tweaked, just a cartoon image, what would you see right now as the image of what's going on in your body?
Well, right now it's different than what I felt before, but I feel like it's almost like I'm a pinwheel. So it's kind of like going like my left ankle is kind of going inward, and then my right top, like my mid, is kind of like that's like the center point going like towards the left. So I feel like I'm twisted.
Yeah. Okay.
Like a pinwheel or something.
Okay. So that twisting feeling.
Yeah, like a twisted feeling. Yeah.
And if you were to come up with another cartoon image,
okay,
what would that be? More of a cartoony kind of thing.
That's what I was thinking. One of those pinwheels.
That's spinning in the wind.
That's spinning in the wind. Yeah.
Okay. So. Those are my words, spinning in the wind, not yours, but maybe you like them.
Yeah, but for me, it feels like it's, twisted. So it's kind of like the,
if you look at that general situation that you were dealing with before, or possibly another situation where you felt twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And twisted could mean manipulated or trying to make yourself into something you're not or something like that.
Yeah, I mean the original issue was kind of like a sort of manipulation.
It
was a non-intended. I mean, I know it wasn't intended to be, but it was kind of like he said one thing, but I also knew at that time that it wasn't really true. Like it was kind of betrayal, manipulation to get what he wanted. So, so it's kind of that.
Yeah, and so maybe there's some other aspects of that manipulation that you want to deal with.
Okay.
So I would be looking at that again because it sounds like it's the same theme again, but it's just another aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like I mentioned the friend who had the environmental allergies crop up every week or so, or a week or two, because there were other aspects of that theme that he still needed to explore.
So that's it doesn't matter, like, if there's, like, something, an event, it doesn't have to be, like, a trigger or something, that something happened, like, right now or today.
No, but it's just...
Okay.
It could have happened this week that there was another little piece of the manipulation going on, you know, that... It's like, ooh, I didn't even notice that little manipulation. That was pretty subtle. Like, wow, I didn't catch that at the time.
Yeah.
So you might want to pay close attention to something like that as well.
Yeah, I had it's interesting. I had a dream last night about me being a car and going on a highway, and then all of a sudden I did something non-intentionally that kind of made me almost crash into the car next to me, and then that triggered like a whole cascade of things with the other cars that was way behind me, you know, like even an hour behind me kind of thing, that, and it turns into like all these crashes. And yeah, I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
It might.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feeling of being out of control and things cascading, you know, and you know, might tie into the manipulation issues and being twisted, you know, kind of that out of control kind of thing. Anyway, it's just something to think about.
Okay.
It really helps to dive into this with another person because they'll have a fresh perspective and can go into all the details. I was just trying to see if I could do a shortcut and help you find.
Yeah, thank you. No, because I do agree. It's kind of challenging doing it alone.
Yeah.
It really is. It's sort of like trying, you know, mentally kind of, it's like a doing like a puzzle that, you know, it's much more helpful when you can see from a different perspective. And
yeah, we're so close to it. We're
yeah.
Well, the other thing is, what we're dealing with is blind spots, and blind spots
exactly.
are by definition, and by
they're
invisible, right?
Right, and so it's really hard to do on yourself because
exactly.
I mean, that's what we kind of create, you know, so that we protect ourselves and
exactly,
you know, with those.
Exactly.
So, but I really appreciate this work. This is really. Open my eyes and
fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait for the practitioner program too.
Yeah, that's going to be coming along soon.
Okay, great. All right, thank you.
You bet.
Okay, let's hear from Penny.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Richard.
Hello.
Hello.
So I've done several processes, and my first one I relate to what Yuki said about not allowing herself to love.
Yeah.
I realized with my mom that it wasn't that, well, part of it was that I didn't feel like she loved me enough, but the biggest part was I felt like I wasn't able to love her enough. She wouldn't let me love her. And that was huge. And then this last week I did a couple processes with anger. And I was struggling, trying to feel the anger. I couldn't get it to come up. I knew that it was there.
Yeah.
And so finally I just turned it into, I'm so pissed off that I can't feel anything. And so I used that. And I was pissed off at all these self-help people telling me to be all loving and, you know, I should be this and that. And I was like, you know, and finally this part of me screamed that, you know, I can't be what I'm not right now. And
exactly.
This part, and that was just huge. It was this part of me finally got to say, you know, I'm just expecting too much of myself, and just be who I am right now. And that was huge.
Well, fantastic. Yes, exactly.
And then yesterday I did another one with anger, and it was, again, the struggle. Why aren't I feeling this? And somehow it turned into something I didn't expect or never could have expected. I just started laughing. And it was like the anger came out through this laughter, like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous what people have been telling me. And then I was like, it's so ridiculous what I've been doing to myself. And I was just laughing, and for like 20 minutes straight, I've never been able to laugh at myself.
Wow. That's fantastic.
It was incredible. It was like, wow. And it just freed me up to feel like, wow, I can't believe I'm so serious about all this stuff. It's like, and I take everybody else so serious. Like, they tell me to do this thing. It's like, I better do that thing or I'm going to never feel better. Or, you know, I have to do it just right, just like they're telling me. And then I do that to myself.
Yeah.
So that, and through that process with the forgiveness part and the self-love, it was like the two parts of myself. It feels like it's my soul that was kind of hiding and started to come out and feel like it could come out. And
yeah,
the two parts of myself kind of held hands and sort of merged together into one.
And how did that feel?
It was amazing.
Yeah, completely, I imagine, sure. Wow. Good work.
And this morning, I feel like I can find that part to love, that part, that my soul, I can access it now. I can love it, and it's just amazing.
Oh,
so
that's spectacular. Good work. And have you noticed any shift in symptoms?
Yes, I have, and it's been, even since the beginning, I've had this taste in my mouth for about a year and a half, and some digestive things really started clearing up, and this morning almost gone. I have some skin eczema, and we'll see what happens with that. It kind of comes and goes, so hard to say, but I just feel like this is a part of several other processes I'm doing that it just feels like a missing link for me. It's just been amazing because I just haven't been doing this part where, okay, I really have to feel the emotion
before.
I'm forgiving everybody, and you know, so it's been great.
That's wonderful. Okay, well, congratulations. This is great.
Thank you.
You're so welcome, sure. Wow, it's good to hear. Devin, you got someone else here?
I'm here. Are you there, Alex?
Yes, I am. I'm here. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I've really enjoyed this whole thing. I've got a few questions. I've got four, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah, the first one is, you know, on step one, say you go through the step one, you get, say, 20 words.
Yeah.
And then you ask about the situation. You might get a match for 15 or maybe only 10 or 5. I mean, at what point would you sort of say no?
All right.
Not the one?
It should be at least 90%.
90%, right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it should be like, oh, my God, that's a no-brainer. It completely fits. I'd say
usually
it's closer to 100%. It's a match, and it's like, you know, the question is over about what the issue is. It should just fit. It should be a fit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're trying to make you know, a square peg in a round hole. You know, it's just that's bullshit.
Yeah, that's good. Then that's what I was looking for. So there's a few things that I've had sort of 50% on, and I've got sort of,
yeah,
do I go with that?
That's,
you know,
not it. 50% isn't it?
Yeah. All right. Great. Yeah. The next one is, like, you know, say emotions. I mean, we kind of hit on that a couple of calls ago. But say day-to-day sort of emotions come up. There might not be anything symptoms, but something just comes up into your head about a situation that maybe someone said something that upset you and you felt a bit pissed off for a couple of days. And would you go maybe back, maybe make a note of these things as they come up and maybe go back and then that night and just go straight to step two and start working on them like that, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good thing to do because when you see, you know, like somebody else was saying, that she, you know, all the problems in her life look really familiar to her. And I say, yeah, that's what I call my fingerprints are on that situation. You know, it's like, yes, they did it to me, but, you know, this has got my fingerprints on it. And here's a theme where I'm triggered again on some emotional issue, but it's my theme. This, these are my issues, you know. And when you find yourself triggered in some way, you can say, okay, where's that coming from? What's the emotional issue here? You know, what's the theme in my life? And you can do a little digging and say, ah, that's why I keep recreating this kind of experience, because I'm still working through this theme.
Right, yeah. Brilliant. So sort of, so you could even go back to step one and ask some of the questions about it, even though you know is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And you just find out what the gift is. There's a gift in these things, and you find out what the gift is.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Thanks, that clears that one up. On step two, the first part of step two is about anger. And quite often I've had like stuff come up, you know, something's come up and I sort of feel there's no anger involved. It's just like maybe sadness or anxiety seems to be quite a big one. And is it just a case of missing that anger part of step two out and jumping to the next stage if that's the case?
Yeah, that's deadly. If you don't express the intensity, you can't really move on to the next step.
But if there's no anger there and it's sadness, you still think you can find anger out of it, even if you really don't feel anger for it.
Well, I'm not saying there always is, but there usually is. And so you just have to be careful not to jump steps. So try to see if you can get into the sadness of it. And if it isn't there, just move on. But here's one real piece that's important, which is if you do the work and the situation transforms in your life and you don't keep attracting that anymore or the symptoms go away, then you did the work well. But if you want to just say, hey, I want to be done with this. I don't feel angry anymore. I don't feel sad anymore. I'm just going to drop it and move forward. Hey, more power to you if that works. But if you keep attracting the situation again and again, it didn't work. So then go back and do more looking. In other words, if there's no sadness, move forward. But if the situation comes up again and you do feel sad about it, okay, well, you move too quickly. That's all.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, great, thanks. And then, the last one is with halitosis, sort of like bad breath. And I've suffered from that over the last maybe year or so. My partner keeps telling me. But as far as I'm concerned, I can't feel any emotion with it because it's not kind of affecting me directly. It's kind of more like affect other people. So trying to...
But what emotions, hold on, what emotions do you feel because other people feel the need to pull away from you? So one of the questions, what emotions do you feel as a result of having the condition? Well, maybe you don't even notice it yourself, but maybe people are pulling away from you and there's emotion about how they react to you. And that's where the emotion is.
I see. And a feeling of maybe not wanting to get too close to people.
And maybe it's like, I don't want to get too close to people, and maybe this is my way of keeping them away. And then you have to go deeper than that and said, what would have had to happen for me to want people to be farther away from me? You know, why would I be choosing that? And now we're getting into some real deep emotions.
Yeah, we are.
And on a physical level with halitosis, I'd be looking at any dental problems, and I'd be looking at stomach issues and intestinal issues. And I did a long series of colonics over a short period of time that really transformed my intestinal gut flora and then went into like really raw foods and healthy foods and got my dental work done. And not that I had halitosis, but I knew a man who did, and he had a lot of gut problems and I knew a woman who had some dental issues. And so all these things can play in. So I'm a big believer in covering all the bases.
Not just working
emotionally. Sure. Although I do think that can sometimes completely clear it up. I don't always think it does. But that's just my own limited belief.
Yeah, well, maybe it is that. Because, I mean, to be honest, we've got most of those covered already. The diet is pretty much immaculate at the moment. Has been for a year, probably 2 years. And
But my diet was immaculate, too, and that wasn't enough to get all the intestinal issues healed. So, anyway, that's another story for another time.
Yeah, I mean, enemas as well, but never a colonic, but enemas, yeah.
Well, colonics are very different than enemas, but I don't want to get into that topic right now.
They're good answers for me anyway. I think I can work from there.
Anyway, is this something to consider?
Yeah. Okay. So that's pretty much it. Apart from thanks very much.
Thank you. Okay, glad to help. Yeah.
Okay. Cheers.
Thank you, Albert.
Thanks,
Ellen.
Let's hear from Margie.
Hello.
This is Margie.
Hey, Margie.
Are we connected?
Indeed.
Hi.
Hi.
I wish this were an ongoing group because it seems to me that we have an ongoing process.
Well, you know, it's really funny because when we do these calls, we often run out. You know, it's like we're scheduled for like another hour and a quarter, but almost every single time, you know, 5 or 10 minutes early, we kind of almost like run out of juice where the people have got their questions answered and we move forward. But what's on your mind?
Well, last week when I did the process on myself, my TMJ neck head symptoms all kind of went away immediately.
Amazing.
And then what happened is it got much worse.
Uh-huh.
And so what I'm... But it got worse differently and
Okay, that's the answer.
See, it got worse differently and in another place, and I was thinking this is connected to another place in my life that something else happened, which was physical, but I'm wondering about if it was also emotional. I ran over a cow, and that's a physical accident, right? And then I started having massive headaches about... a month later, and I'm wondering if it's physical or if there's the emotional stuff that was happening in my life that also showed up in the form of me running over a cow.
I'd say they're all true.
I would guess that too, because I just got an insight as I was saying it. The guy that I was about to marry later became very fat, like I would say as fat as a cow. I grew up on a farm,
Funny.
So that's interesting, right? Huh, and that created huge problems, and maybe that was an intuition telling me you're about to drive over a cow.
That's pretty amusing in that regard.
But it actually isn't it? I just had that flash, right?
Yeah.
Well.
And you ran away from a cow.
Well, I didn't. I actually ran over the cow.
Yeah,
somebody had already hit it, and I ran over it.
Oh, my.
But it actually created this massive condition of headaches for the next day. 10 years, and that's what was coming up next. So I did some processing with that person, know that I completed it, and that's also connected to my mother from childhood and the anger about her being very, very overweight and making me very, very overweight because she treated us all like she treated herself, feeding us massive amounts of food instead of doing any emotional nurturing.
Right, so... food instead of the nurturing.
Right.
Yeah. And so.
So then I started thinking about, now what's this got to do with metabolism? Like, am I mad at mom that she's not hugging me and not listening to me and not paying attention to me? And what's going on there that's creating this slow metabolism or this overeating thing? And they're both going on, right?
But, you know, metabolism can be variable. It doesn't have to always be the same.
Hmm.
So the belief that you're always going to have the same metabolism is very limited. Now, in terms of impact, the impact of being overweight is also, another word of saying fat is insulation, right?
Yes.
So insulating oneself from, and that's what fill in the blanks. Some people insulate themselves from emotional or physical intimacy by being, you know, just having too much insulation. Some people insulate themselves from the pain.
That's true.
Try to create more separation. So you can be looking at it. But the good thing is you got to see that the thing works. Now you have to look at the new process. So if you were to come up with like a cartoon image of what's going on with your head and jaw now, what would you say the cartoon image was now?
Well, my neck actually looks like it's straight up and down, so there's no flexibility in the neck.
So what would be the cartoon image of what's going on with you now?
That. Just it would be like there's a steel rod in it instead of it being flexible.
So it feels like there's a steel rod holding you rigidly.
It must be something like that. I'd have to
So if you just kind of look at what's going on where you're upset about rigidity.
That would be about just holding on to emotions because it's not allowed to be expressed in my family of origin.
Okay, so.
And then that pattern I've carried throughout my life, even though I'm a therapist and I'm always expressing myself now.
Okay,
I didn't.
All right.
Right, so it's all the old stuff.
I mean, I can hear a lot of emotional freedom in your voice and nurturing quality in your voice, and that's really a nice thing. But maybe there's still some upset about that rigidity stuff.
There is. There's still anger about that from my family.
Yeah, so that's where, you know, so go try to, you know, work on that release and anything else that the new version of the TMJ and next stuff is expressing to you. Because a lot of times these things will just come back, and a lot of times they're not as bad the next time, but sometimes they're even worse because they just say, come on, deal with it even more intensely. Get it to a deeper level, you know?
So it's also showed up to me in the expression of a guy that I dated about 3 years ago who's still my friend who has this overreactive anger in a constant way. It's actually attention deficit disorder. But whatever it looks like, he's always pissed off about nothing. And I'm like, God, what's wrong with him? So that's where that's showing up too. And I've been speaking up more to him, and it makes it worse because he's really expressive. If I do it, it's times 10 with him.
Yeah.
Oh, and I guess that's a good thing because I get to look at that more.
Yeah, just keep diving into it, keep working on it. Sounds like you're making really good progress.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. It seems like a lifelong project.
Well, that's why we have a life.
Okay, there you go.
You know, I read this thing that I really liked it. Somebody posted it on Facebook. I don't know where it came from, but somebody said that if we wanted to experience infinite, unconditional love, we never would have come here.
Right on.
We came here to experience the messy, juicy issues of being human, all that loss. And, you know, as a human being, we tend to we lose everything we love over time, and we experience this tremendous love and this tremendous loss. We experience this incredible polarity, and then we say, I don't want to have to feel that. And so we came to this place to feel all this stuff and to experience it, and then when we got here, we said, I don't want to do that one. And it's kind of the great humor of being here is we signed up for it, and then we say, no, thank you.
Yeah, it's true. You know, when I was a little kid, I knew this. I think I was like a little Buddhist in my heart, right?
Yeah.
Because I looked around me and I said, boy, I'm not going to do marriage because then you're stuck with them for life.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do kids because you don't know who you get as your child. And then one of them could die, and that would be horrible. And your husband could die too, so just avoid that. And
maybe
we could
avoid living altogether.
I was mapping it all out, so I said, okay, I know what. I'm just going to go to the convent. So what do? I go to the convent, and I constantly fall in love, and people are constantly falling in love with me.
Oh,
you can't avoid it, right? So life pulls you in anyway.
Sure.
So I get married, right? And yes. Then he dies, right? And I'm going, oh, I created that one.
Oh, my. Well, this is what the messy 3D life that we have. And
it is.
And the joy is when we stop resisting the love. That's the joy,
yeah.
When we stop resisting the intensity of all the experiences we have. Because the pain doesn't have to last forever if you're willing to experience it. And the love never really goes away because it's timeless.
Exactly.
Yeah, so thank you, Buddha. Thank you so
much. Jump in. Exactly. Well, thank you very much for listening. It's helpful, but it is an ongoing process. I get that.
Yeah, it isn't just like, okay, we took the weekend course and now I'm on for the next one. You know, this is not a weekend course. This is a life project.
No kidding.
Of growth, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear from Paula. Paula, did you have your hand
Hello?
Raised? Yeah, maybe that was an accident. Let's hear from Mike.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hi, Mike.
I was just wondering how you get on that mailing list for exchanging sessions with other members in the group.
You probably, I think what will happen is, at the end of the call or during the call or sometime, Devin will send out an email to everybody in this class asking them if they want to be on a group mailing list, or maybe just to say if they don't want to be, I don't know, just any way you like to do it. And then once we got a list of everybody who wants to share their email contact, then Devin will have that particular list, and we'll send it out to everybody, and then you'll have a connection with the people in the class. Who you can communicate with.
Okay.
And then you can call or Skype them or whatever you want to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Thank you. You bet. Sure.
Okay. Pam, did you have your hand raised?
Yes.
It looks like. Okay.
Yes, I did. Okay, this is the deal. I actually wrote this down because I had so much going on in my head, I didn't even know how to express this. But first of all, I was not able to get into forgiveness. I got into remorse, and then when I got into remorse, I could tell I was beating myself up and this and that. But as I was in remorse, it took me back. I was, first of all, angry at God. Then it took me back to my parents, and I got into a big, went through the visualization with them. And then it took me into actually having to go through grieving process of my mom's death at 18. And I was mad at her for that. And then it was, I couldn't get back into remorse and move into forgiveness.
Yeah.
And what I have found, the theme that is coming up for me constantly in every single thing is carrying the load in my life alone on my own, and I'm overwhelmed and I'm tired of it and I can't do it.
Yeah.
And this is what's interesting. A couple months ago, I started having symptoms. This has happened 6 years ago at work, and it's happened again now, and it happened when I busted my ankle again 3 years ago, because I started having heart palpitations, blood pressure, sinus tachycardia, under cardiologist in the hospital. I mean, this is how bad it's gotten.
Yeah.
So now I'm off work, and the thought process going through this has been so wild, because the thought process the day that I ended up in the hospital was, I am stressed. I have too much on my plate. I can't do this on my own. I'm alone. I'm tired of this. I'm exhausted. I'm overwhelmed, and I can't do it. I ended up in the hospital. I'm still off work 2 months later, and it scares me because I have two beliefs, and I know this, and I'm carrying it, and the biggest one is I'm carrying the load in my life. I'm overwhelmed, and I can't do this. And then there's another one that's underlying that goes with work, which is really interesting because it's not like this all the time, but I don't feel connected at work. I don't feel like as good as others, or I hold back and being myself because I don't, I guess, like I'm a manager and with the reps I feel fine, but you put me in a different situation, I don't feel up to par, and it puts a lot of stress on me. And so here I am thinking about going back to work, and I'm not sure. I tried to work through this, but I'm not sure how to work through these feelings, because how do you keep this from happening again, and how do you actually walk through this because this is my theme. That is exactly what's going on in my life,
yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
overwhelmed doing it on my own.
Okay. So.
That's it.
So the,
so,
yeah.
No, go ahead. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So, how far back do you trace the feelings of having to carry the load? You know, that you don't feel connected, overwhelmed, and so forth.
I feel like where this started was when I was a child, and there was physical abuse, and I would be alone after the physical abuse happened, and there would be
yeah.
nobody there for me. I was alone, and then you know, lost my mom at 18. But I think it started as a child. I think I felt very alone because there was nobody there.
Yes.
You know, my parents. I love you. I'm sorry you did this. They, you know, I mean.
Okay, so here's where we're going. Here's where we're going with this. You're right on target, and you're feeling the emotions, and that's powerful. That's really good work. You're doing good. You're getting very close. What happens is, you need to express the anger at your parents for leaving you alone, for not carrying the load for you, for making you feel so overwhelmed, and then. For the forgiveness, it's not about forgiving them. What you're doing is you realize that you carried that pain into your life today, that you've been carrying the pain of not feeling good enough, that you can't do this, that you have to carry the load, that you have to do everything yourself, that you have to be alone. You know, you've been carrying that one yourself, and you continue that pattern going. That's what you forgive yourself for. You get angry at the parents, and you process that rage to them, and you create a new past. But then when it comes to the forgiveness, realize, yes, they did that to me, but I've been doing it to me all these years later. That's what I need to forgive myself for.
Okay, that's, I had an idea through my... Go ahead, and then I'll tell you.
Yeah. So you go to the place of, yeah, they did that to me. They really hurt me, and I expressed all that emotion. Yes, I really did. But, oh, my God, I've been doing that to me for decades now. I've been isolating myself. I've been the one holding myself back. I've been the one who always has to feel alone, blah, blah, blah. I've been hurting me this way. And you take it for 5-10 minutes. Just realizing you did this to yourself and you feel this tremendous remorse that you hurt yourself, then you do that Ho'oponopono variation where you sit in front of yourself, back and forth, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, I love you, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, I love you. Keep going back and forth that way. You know what you've done. You've hurt yourself badly. And you just do the forgiveness exercise. You can't stop on remorse. You've got to work your way into it. And the remorse is that you hurt yourself by carrying the pattern that your parents had given to you. That's what it is. But it's all those years that I did that. Yes, it's a lot of forgiving. It's a lot of forgiving that you had done this to yourself. But realize once you forgive yourself, it doesn't matter how long it took because you forgave it. And you got to trust the process. And it might really be, you know, good at some point, you know, to work with somebody else, like another counselor or somebody who knows self-created health, and just to sit with them to make sure that you actually stick with the process and don't just run away from it when it gets very hard. And it does. When you come to doing a core forgiveness of this magnitude, it is very hard. No, this isn't easy work. You know, it's challenging. But that's why it's so valuable, because it takes you through to the next step.
Well, I did go through this, and I did, I mean, my parents, I even, you know, I told them how I felt, everything you said.
Yes, exactly.
And I had a hard time, like, seeing them forgive me. It was like, it was hard for me to receive their forgiveness or even see
okay,
their forgiveness.
Okay,
no, wait.
We don't want... Okay, hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we don't really care about getting their forgiveness. That's not the issue.
Okay.
That's not what we're going for. The issue is you continued the pattern long after your parents, after you moved away from home. You continued feeling those feelings and making it life really hard for yourself. You continued their pattern. They did it to you. But you're the one who continued it. That's what the forgiveness is about. You forgive you for having continued doing to yourself what they had done to you. That's the core.
I think is when I started expressing my anger to them, because I went into remorse after I was mad at God, then I got into remorse and I was starting to do it, and then they came up in my picture, and so I had to go back and I went through the forgiveness, the process of anger with them, and
good.
Then I had a hard time getting remorse because I was still so, and I mean, I let it out. I was like crying, and I mean, it
good,
was
good.
Intense. So I just, then it was like me trying to get into remorse, and I do understand I've beat myself up. I do understand I've
yes.
done this.
Right.
I couldn't, then I tried to get into forgiveness, and I couldn't see myself to forgive. I don't know. I just got stuck here.
Yeah, that's why sometimes it really helps to just have a friend there. Maybe you could do it over the phone with somebody or whatever, but just to stay with it, to see yourself in front of you and to,
okay.
and to feel unforgivable is actually part of the process where you feel like, I can't do this. That's part of the process where you get to that place where you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. And the one in front of you, you're thinking to yourself, I can't forgive you. There's just no way I can forgive you for that. And the one in front of you says, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. And you're thinking, I can't forgive you for that. I can't forgive that. And that's one of the steps in the forgiveness is feeling that it's impossible.
But see, I don't feel like, I guess the point is, I don't feel like, that I'm unforgivable. It keeps throwing me back into my parents. But I do understand where I've done this.
Yes.
I mean, I understand what I've done myself, but I don't feel like I can't be forgiven. I mean,
okay.
I don't feel like it's me. I don't know how to explain.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time understanding it on that level because it sounds like you're really close to breaking through. But when you forgive yourself for maintaining the pattern, that's when the breakthrough is going to happen, and you're very close to that.
When you do what? I'm sorry.
When you forgive yourself for having held the pattern in place. Yes, it was your parents. You got it. That's right. But when you forgive yourself for having continued the pattern that they had started, that's when the breakthrough happens and you're very close.
Okay, so I just need to sit and work with that more until I feel it deeper is what you're saying.
Yeah, so you can go straight to the remorse now. Look how you've hurt yourself all these years. This is what you did to you. So dive into the remorse, because if you don't go into the remorse, it's sort of like you don't know what you're forgiving yourself for. So you
right.
need to really be on the remorse heavily, and then when you then it's going to move into the forgiveness very powerfully. So you're very close.
Let me ask you this: how do you keep from going back into those defeating patterns or beliefs? The beliefs that you're not, you know. That you beat yourself up. How do you keep from going back there? Will this release out of you as you?
Yeah, it should.
Get to
it should trans. Yeah, you should.
Okay.
You should find them transforming spontaneously at that point.
Okay.
Because those patterns are just holding you in place. They're just holding patterns.
Okay. I'll keep working on it.
Good.
Thank you
good.
Very much.
You bet.
Appreciate
sure.
it.
Yeah, of course. Wow.
Okay, we have Christina.
No, I don't have my finger
no.
hand up.
No.
Okay. Well, that makes
thanks.
It easy.
Okay.
All right.
Stuck again, huh?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
My hand stuck up. It's
oh,
like
that's right. Right.
It happens sometimes.
Okay, Anna Maria.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. You may have answered the question. I'll
okay.
ask you what you prefer.
Yeah.
When I did the process and I was on the discovery level,
mm-hmm.
and the question had come about if you had an animation in mind, what would it be?
Like a cartoon, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sorry, a cartoon.
Yeah.
And what had happened is that I realized that I had that cartoon in my head since that time. Like, I already had visualized that cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, it was great that it's coming up in a course, like, how many years later, you know?
Yeah.
But I couldn't go past, I couldn't understand the significance of it, like I've heard everybody else process, because
mm-hmm.
it felt like a dead end.
Yeah.
I didn't have any more
It's not always the question that's going to provide an answer, but it often is.
Okay. May I give an example of it?
Yes, please. Go for it.
Yes. So I would call it aching lower back when I was a very young girl. So it would be the most pronounced in my preteen time. And then ever since then, I always had really excruciating back pain. So around 12 years old, I could say, the feeling was a bar across the back. But if I did an animation, cartoon to it, the symptom would be where I would go with my mom somewhere. We have to stand in a line.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stand for more than 5 minutes. Then that excruciating pain would come. And if I had no relief, I would get a lot of nausea. It was so painful.
Yeah.
But I was very quiet about it. I didn't go and complain or wail about it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something that was happening, and I was trying to bear it through.
Right.
And so I picture feeling someone put a belt across my back or a cord and then hanging bricks off of it and then pulling the bricks as if they're pulling off the muscle in the flesh, like have they hooks in my flesh and tearing down my back. Like, it was excruciating. It felt like weights in the bottom of my back.
Yeah.
And even though I knew that this would come, if I go into the memory, this would happen in general when I would have to stand in a line somewhere and
yeah.
not move my legs.
Right.
Then it could eventually lock. But the memory that comes up where it's the most significant is the bank line. Like, I know it happened everywhere else, a shopping
yeah.
center.
Yeah, okay, so that's where you remembered it.
For some reason, I keep remembering going to the bank with my mom, and we had to stand in line, and that's it. And I don't have anything else about it.
So,
I had that my whole life.
Okay.
And it came up this week.
So the pain came up?
Oh, yeah, the big bar across my back, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm a very physical person. I teach classes. I have to keep physically moving all the time, and I made that
right.
my profession. And,
What did you tie this to emotionally?
Well, this feeling of like my back was ripping downward, being pulled down to the ground.
And what was the emotional link that you came up with?
Paralyzed.
Was that the emotional? That sounds like a symptom
sorry.
Of the way you felt.
Oh, it felt. I thought it was emotional. Sorry.
No, what was the emotional situation that tied into all this?
Waiting.
What? Excuse me.
No.
All right.
Waiting.
Okay. So when you were a child. Was there something emotionally going on in some way you felt emotionally paralyzed? Somebody was ripping or hanging something off of you. There was excruciating pain going on in your life on some level.
If I paralleled it to an emotional weight.
Yeah.
Okay. The thing. I had some physical things happen, but I don't feel it's that. I remember the feeling of always watching my mother from the back,
yeah.
on the back of her back,
yeah.
facing the sink. She was always cooking and cleaning dishes.
Yeah.
And she was always waiting, wishing, oh boy, okay. I was always wishing would be with me.
Yeah.
Boy. And
See, now we're getting back to the emotions now. And that was the excruciating, paralyzing, ripping pain that you weren't getting the support you needed, your back.
She was always cooking and making things ready for her because that's what she did. That's how she supported the family. My
right.
dad worked and she always cooked and how she showed her love. I guess she felt her role was that.
Yeah, but that you had this excruciating pain that you know, it was kind of like ripping you, that you weren't getting, and it's paralyzing pain, that you weren't getting what you needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what you want to, that's what you want to work on, that pain. You see, pain in the body equals pain in the emotions.
Funny that I was watching her always from the back. And
yeah.
That's where
and that's where you felt your pain, in the back. You're looking at her from the back, and your pain is in the back.
The back, yeah.
She always has her back to you, so to speak, you know. But
yeah.
That's, and then you experience the pain in your back.
Really strange.
Well, it's just a way that the higher self learns how to communicate with us, or teach, or trying to get us to learn how to think. To think through these kinds of understandings. The body mind is expressing itself, and we haven't learned how to listen, how to interpret, how to understand the messages that it gives.
When you were speaking to a lady, quite a few callers back,
yeah.
She talked about laughing at herself of how serious she has been.
Right.
And she had a laughing release.
Yes.
When that lady was speaking, and I was waiting for my turn, thinking of, you know, listening to her, what started to happen is that my lower spine, the lumbar area, it felt like the matter in the spine was expanding like bread with yeast in the oven.
Ooh.
And it was expanding, and the energy was moving up my spine, just up, moving, and opening, and
Hello? We seem to have...
I'm trying to find her, but it looks like the call's been dropped, so...
Oh, well, we'll have to come back to that one. Maybe she'll come back on again. She'll pop back in.
Okay. Let's hear from Janet. Are you there?
I am. I was going to kind of wait till we were dwindling down. It's a little off topic, but not really. It has
we're kind of dwindling down.
Good. a couple calls back, it was the issue about forgiveness and who do we forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And this relates to my experience with quantum touches, level one as much as anything.
Sure.
About 18 years ago, I had an experience where I was trying to deal with, process family situations and how I was feeling tormented and bitter and angry, and I knew if I didn't get a handle on it, it would destroy me, and I didn't know what chakras were.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I was trying to find some relief and doing energy work. And violence, abuse, I was being made the scapegoat, even though I was the one that the victimization had been done to. I was the one that was being ostracized and forced out of the family. And so trying to come to terms with it, and I had this, I was sitting cross-legged in my bedroom, praying and crying, and I had my palms up in the air, and I felt this emotion and this churning in what I now know are my second and third chakras, and this transformation that behind all the hatred and anger and bitterness was love. And at the same time, I felt this shooting energy, heat, this heat coming out of the palms of my hands. And I have to say it was the most life-transforming experience I've ever had.
Wow.
But when I've been doing Quantum Touch 1, which has been a few years back, I have never had access to that heat again in my hands, so I feel like I'm not good enough or I'm not doing it right, and I don't know if there's something more I should be doing to try and activate my hands more for the
I would say keep working on the self-created health issues.
Okay.
And just tap into the deeper and deeper love that you are.
Okay.
And you'll have those experiences. They come and go.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I was doing something wrong. If I was
No, you're doing it right. Hey,
okay.
And the symptoms go away. You know you're doing it right.
Okay.
And there are people who never feel anything in their hands, and they still do brilliant work. And then
okay.
with level two, you don't even use your hands. So there it is.
Right, right. And I've done level two, but I just felt like I was faking it with level one, and I didn't know if
and there's a lot of people who fake it with level one and do brilliant work because they don't have they don't have a lot of sensation, so it's not a big deal.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sure.
Okay. Let's hear from Danae. Hello.
Hello.
I wanted to thank you for creating this process, and I couldn't say that, I don't know, even before the call today, because I hadn't really experienced anything, but that's what my mind was saying. But I really did. I realized I've always been blaming my mom,
mm-hmm.
and someone
yeah.
had brought up my dad. We had a conversation this week, and they're asking me about my dad, and I got really defensive,
mm-hmm.
and I realized that it was abandonment for my dad that I was feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had a dream last night, and I don't normally remember my dreams, and I should have been really angry, but I was like, whatever, that happens.
Oh.
And so I realized I was, as I was going through the process, I was mentally being angry, but I wasn't actually feeling the anger.
Yeah.
So those are definitely some things that, you know, I can work on as I go forward.
Good, good. Yeah, you know, this process just keeps unwinding and unfolding everything. And it's just, it's the exploration of our lives and the healing of it.
Yeah, and thank you so much. I normally would have, you know, after not getting a result, I would have been like, done with it. But things kept coming up, so that's amazing.
Go.
So thank
yeah.
you.
You're welcome, sure.
Richard, I have a question. I'm just wondering if, you know, if people become confused, you know, I notice a lot of people have gotten stuck on the emotional part of this and releasing it and moving into forgiveness.
Yeah.
Is that a sign that there's so much emotion under the surface and they're trying to figure out with their minds? I don't know. It just sounds like the confusion is a mask for not wanting to feel.
Well, it always is.
Actually.
You know, the emotions are painful, and we bury them for good reason. They're painful. And so to be willing to go in and have enough mental clarity to be willing or able to access the intensity of these emotions and use the map of, okay, I'm on step two, I need to move to step three, and I'm on step three, I need to move to step four. That's totally intellectual. But doing the process is totally emotional. Oops, I got off track. Mental again. Go back on track, feel this, go into the forgiveness, emotional. So we're going back and forth between intellectual and emotional all the time in the process. But the whole trick is, the whole issue is, if we have issues that need to be dealt with, it means we didn't deal with them before, which meant they were too painful to go into. So, of course, we avoid them. That's the whole point of this work, is that we need to get back and experience this stuff. So, of course, we get stuck. We didn't want to feel it in the first place. We don't want to feel it now. But this is the medicine we're taking. The medicine is the willingness to experience the intensity and to move through the process to get to the other side. That's the medicine. And it's not easy. That's why we're doing it, so we can get to the
right.
other side. Yeah.
Okay, it looks like Anna Maria is back on.
Hooray. We lost you there.
Hi. Yeah, I dropped.
Yeah, it happens.
I just wanted to, yes. So thank you for putting me back on. So I just wanted to say, when that lady was speaking, the one I mentioned, and she had a release laughing, then during the whole time, I had that sensation in the spine where I felt some energy moving up the spine from the lower to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like something was expanding and making space.
Nice.
Like that makes bread rise in the oven.
Yes.
And when that happened, and then I had a lot of yawning throughout, even after she had, even you had switched
right.
people speaking. And I kept, I was tearing. I started getting very congested, had to blow my nose. And the
good.
Whole thing going, and this has just been going, it's like I've been clearing also while listening to other people. And at the very beginning of the call,
whatever you started speaking about, I also had like a tightness in my chest, but now versus the beginning of the call, I feel like all that shift in my lower back occurred, and then my chest space is more open. And the yawning and the this and the that, it's been quite something. And I want to thank you again for speaking to me about the block I talked to you about regarding the lower back and my mom.
Right. Oh, well, fantastic.
It's very interesting to see how that rolls out now.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Richard.
Oh, that's great.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, Akiko, are you there?
Yeah, I am. I thought I lost everybody. Hi again. I just want to say that after you asked me about with the whole cartoon and stuff with the ankle, it hit me about, you know, with the twistedness and the manipulation. And then listening to all the people, I think that helps also with the whole insight or the just realizations. And I realized how, all my life I felt like that from my mom, that she would say one thing but really mean another.
Yeah.
Wow,
there you go.
Yeah. And so she used a lot of reverse psychology on me.
Ooh.
And, I mean, she wouldn't even say it, you know.
Right, of course not.
And what's interesting is it's also, well, there's two factors. There's also, she also was kind of betrayed or manipulated by my dad, who came from Japan to the U.S., and he would actually lie to her. He lied to her for 10 years saying that the company wanted him to stay there in the U.S. And instead it was that they wanted him to come back, but he always denied.
Yeah.
And my mom still holds resentment about that. And it's interesting because she also has her left ankle, the same pain as I do. So I don't know if that's related, but then what's also kind of came up was that whenever I would go to Japan, I would get really, it was really difficult for me because most people, at least around the family, mm-hmm. would say something but mean something else.
Ooh, that's big. And that hurts.
Yeah, that does, because I could feel it was not what they were saying. And I didn't know, it was very confusing, and I felt like, you know, I understood that that's the way they were, but it still, it felt very kind of not sure what's the truth. And kind of using, you know, whatever they wanted to kind of mold me or wanted to...
Yeah, it's manipulation. Dishonesty mm-hmm. and manipulation. Mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
You got your handle. You got the hands on the handle now, and you can...
Yeah, so thank you. I was wondering, though, like in terms of, because it was kind of a cultural thing, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a Japanese culture in terms of, you know, not expressing your emotions, really, your true emotions. Or you say yes, but you really mean no. And so in terms of, you know, going through maybe the anger, like I feel right now the anger building up. Is it possible to do it to the whole culture, the whole, or
yes.
is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
You're good.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. I'm really angry at this culture.
Yeah.
You know, to say what you don't believe and say you're sorry when you're not and all that stuff.
And
be really angry at the culture. Well, you have no right to be angry at the culture. Fuck right. I'm angry. You know, I don't need a right to have my emotions. I have my emotions.
Now we're
in liberation territory, okay?
Yeah, I feel it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah, it feels like this is my whole life that it's been like that, so.
Very good. Okay, now we're talking. Now that we're talking.
And it's interesting because even just acknowledgement of all that, I feel my ankle, it feels like this warm energy just flowing through. Like, it feels like it's there's something there, you know, that's opening. So, it feels really good. Even though it feels...
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's so amazing. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's so amazing. This stuff actually works. I mean, okay, now we know what it is, and I'm feeling the emotion, and the symptoms are just disappearing. Because from my perspective, we're actually these beings of light that have chosen to come into a physical form, and we're actually not just 99% empty space, we're 99.999999999899 afterwards. We're almost not even there. We're these beings of light and are experiencing all these emotions, and we're putting all of our issues into a physical form that we can see in front of us, like our bodies and our relationships and our health and everything. And then when we get to the point where we can actually experience them directly, then the reality becomes more of an illusion. And the ankle starts heating up and it clears up and I'm yawning and I feel different and people are treating me differently and things are happening differently.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? I'm grateful to be alive right now.
Yes, well, fantastic. There you go.
To experience that, yeah. Thank you. I'm gonna go into that. With the culture is really big. Yeah. So thanks.
Okay, let's hear from Bernadette.
Hi, Richard. I've got just a couple of things. I kind of started on this path about 3 years ago when it was suggested that I go and see a guy who was doing quantum touch over here.
Mm-hmm.
It probably looked quite rude because I walked into his office and sat and said, I don't believe in what you do, but I've been sent here. And then he could just do the most amazing things and this most amazing healing on me, which took so long, it wasn't funny. And it was kind of like I had all these things wrong with me that I don't even know the names of half of the things that he was telling me were wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go through the process of saying, you know, you created this yourself, I mean, I've never heard of Meiner's disease, so I'm like, how did I create that?
Yeah, right.
You know? And I've continued on the process because I believed in it so strongly that I just sent so many people to him. And eventually he turned around and said to me, you do realize you can do this yourself. And I went, what? And so I put heaps of pressure on myself when he originally told me that. And then I kind of pulled away and said, no, not now. And now I know I'm ready. And I really want to help my kids with this. And that's my main purpose is because, you know, my whole desire in life was to be a better parent than my parents were. And, you know, I keep getting told, give them the tools. And I hear that. But one of the things that I think I have been doing, well, I know I've been doing, is suppressing the emotions. And so, like, if I'm looking at my kids from a perspective of how to give my kids a better life, am I therefore, you know, because I get worried when my son's just so angry, he's getting kicking and he's punching things. And, I mean, that's not healthy when he's putting holes in things. Yeah. So it's like, how do I let my kids express their emotions in a really happy way? Because my kids were always so sick when that, you know, in the early years, till they were about 5 or 6, and they had severe reflux and facial palsy and croup. And now I've got a lot of blame after going through this course, going, have I put all that onto them and made them that sick because I didn't want them sick? And how do I give my kids facial palsy? And so I just want to give them a much healthier perspective in life by doing this. and
right.
I've always helped people and my family. And so thank you for that, because yesterday I've made a real connection with one of my sisters that I haven't had a close connection with. And when I started this process, I sent all my family have followed it, and they've gone to see the same practitioner that I had, and he's
mm-hmm.
brilliant and amazing, and thank you for teaching him. So yesterday at my niece's birthday party, they were like, oh, what are you doing? And instead of mocking me like they have done in the past,
right.
they're all lining up for quantum touch sessions.
Wow, that's great.
And so here I was giving quantum touch to my sister's new partner, who was like, I don't know if I'm with you, but I'm going to do it. And then my sister was like, hang on a minute, I want to turn. And she's normally not, we're not that close. You know, we've just developed a huge relationship, and there's been so much forgiveness in my journey for her. And so she lined up, and then my mum, who I also sent to the practitioner, she's like going, I can see the hips moving, and I can see what's happening. And it's like, no one's mocking me for changing my course from being a teacher to now being a healer. And they're all like, even my mother-in-law, who is so earth, is now like, keep going, you're so much more at peace, and can you heal my son, because he's just not good. Whereas my husband's like, what's this wacky-dacky stuff that you're bringing into my house, and I don't believe it, so I've just got to go with it and feel it. And what are you doing to our kids, because he's so, he's an optometrist, so he's very scientific.
Hmm.
And there's no, you know, he's like, where's the science evidence, and da-da-da-da. But anyway, back on track. It's like, so am I to let my kids feel the emotions, but how do I do it without them getting so physically violent that they create holes and hurt other people?
Well, you know, it's a big question. And the first step is you having the space to experience things for yourself. That's the first step.
Okay.
So you become the example, which is what you did with the healing work too, right?
Yeah.
So you start by being the example, and then you gently give permission to everybody in your family to be more real about what's happening. Hey, I really imagine that pissed you off when that person said this or did this thing, you know? Bet that hurt your feelings when that happened. Yeah, it really did. Okay. So, you know, how did that make you feel? Talk to me about it and so forth. And just give permission for people to be where they are. And it starts with you giving yourself permission to be where you are, and then leading by example by showing your anger in a real way. In other words, when you said and did this, I felt really hurt. I felt really angry. That, you know, and you express your emotions without being punishing, without blaming. When this happened, I felt this. And you learn how to communicate in a way that leads by example.
Because, I mean, that's the hardest thing for me. I come from two very parents who came from incredibly dysfunctional families, and they
yeah.
didn't know how to communicate, so we never were
of course
taught
not.
That.
No.
And, you know, like, at the moment, it's like, kids, go to time out and sort yourself out. Like, sometimes I let them scream and yell. I mean, I've been at the swimming pools, the public swimming
yeah.
pools, and my son's like, in the middle of the pool, you don't love me, Mom, this is there, in front of everybody. I'm like, going, that's okay, son, I can handle that, I love you.
Yeah.
So that's like, what else am I going to do?
Exactly. Yeah.
But,
so,
you know, it's the times when, oh, thank you, sweetheart, sorry. You know, and I know that. I know we weren't taught to communicate as a family. I mean, a lot of them are, you know, divorcees who can't communicate and have all got issues, and it's just brilliant that I've got this process. So thank you now to heal a lot of them or help them heal themselves.
Fantastic.
What I haven't got past, I suppose, is the fact that now I'm blaming myself for my kids being so sick when they were little.
Everybody brings in their own karma. Everybody brings in their own issues
mm-hmm.
and the things that they came to learn in each lifetime.
Yeah.
And so you need to be with that, with yourself. And deal with it. But it's their responsibility. They chose to have their experiences to wake up, just as you choose your experiences to wake up. You can wake up and forgive yourself, and you'll give them a beacon to help. It's a homing beacon to help them come home again to who they really are. So that's where your responsibility is, to keep loving and forgiving yourself, and then you can be that inspiration for others.
Oh, brilliant. It's quite funny because the practitioner left one part of my body left to fix, And he said, you know, I've got to work that out on myself. Like, I didn't know about self-created health. We didn't discuss any of that when he was working on me.
Yeah.
But I have seen him recently, and I said, there's still one part to go. I've got to, you know, because I didn't know I had arthritis in my right shoulder. And I said, but I'm going to work it out myself this time, so leave me alone.
Yeah.
But it's been interesting because my son and my daughter have really, they're like, Mum, you know, we feel this and we feel that, and can you fix it? And my husband's the only one, which is funny enough, in two families who's not going with it. He said, I'm going with it because I love you, but this is wacky-dacky stuff. And my son turned to me the other day, he's nine, and, you know, my two children that I've been working on, they're trying to copy the breathing and stuff.
Yeah.
And my son said, Mum, can I learn this? So, Richard, can my nine-year-old, you know, I've seen on the videos, learn it all?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
If they're interested, brilliant. They'll be brilliant. The children tend to do wonderful work, but they tend to have short attention spans. So they maybe give a really good session for 3 minutes, then they kind of want to wander off and do something else. But those 3 minutes are priceless. So, yes, absolutely teach them.
And hopefully that will help them release his anger.
Well, that's another – I think you can lead by example on that one.
But and just get angry in a healthy way instead of
just be,
it.
just show in a beautiful way how beautiful anger is.
Yeah.
And love yourself in the process of being real, and explain to them that anger is not a bad thing if it's honest and vulnerable. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably where I'm possibly a bit stuck, because for me, if you kind of let things out, people have always left you. So I know I've got an abandonment issue. So it's like, well, if I can hide all that and suppress all that and just do whatever, then people won't take off. But then, that's possibly their journey, not mine.
And then you can communicate that and say, you know, for most of my life I thought that if I was angry, people would abandon me. But now I found out that if I express my anger this way, that it just makes us closer. It doesn't cause abandonment. It causes us to feel closer instead of, you know. And so that's a really good thing to go with.
I think it's more, I don't know if it was the anger or whatever, but all throughout my life, because both of my extended families were so dysfunctional, and they had their own issues, that people just appeared to be leaving, and it wasn't actually me, it was actually the other people in their lives that caused them to go on their issues, but I took it on personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, right back, I'm looking at when I was 5, and you can't say that to me at 5. That's, you know, so it's, you know, but thanks, Richard, for the process and for the ability for me to help, you know, like I've always helped people throughout my life, so now I can help them in another manner, and I think, you know, it just seems to be that my path and teachings veered off to helping in this respect, and maybe one day if I use my teaching, I mean, there's got to be a purpose for it to help other people learn quantum through my teaching skills, then, yeah, but thank you so much for
For
the person over here that you've trained, because he is phenomenal and doing amazing things, and without him I don't think I'd probably be here, because I had gotten to such a state that my body was no longer functioning and my mind wasn't there, and he's just reconnected everything.
Well, the odds...
Sorry?
Oh, I was just saying the odds are that it was one of the people that I trained who trained him.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, like, our process and our journey that we went through together, you know, we wish we videoed it, because, you know, we didn't believe what was happening when one day I couldn't even get off his floor for 2 hours because I had no energy to walk out. And the minute I'd walk out the door, I'd collapse in a heap on the floor. And so he had to try and get me back to be able to be walking and get out the door. And it was just like, right, where's all that come from? And, you know, so I just was like, rightio, we didn't go through self-created health then. That was just through purely quantum. Thank you, Richard, for that, and continue on the work. I think it's brilliant.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bernadette. Okay, we have Yuki.
Hello, Yuki.
Oh, hi. I'm sure I thought you said Rocky. Richard, I have a question to ask you. I have an incident that happened when I was 4 that there is no real anger around, because at the age of 4, I misinterpreted something my mother said
that she has no idea I took that way. And I remember going to bed that night and crying myself to sleep, thinking I had ruined my mother's life. And at the age of 4, took that on. And I know that I have, and I know that I did, but in trying to work through the process of it, I don't understand what the emotion I would be trying to release on it would be. So when I try and get remorse in it,
Let's look at that. I mean, you bring up a really interesting point. You see, when you misunderstand something, you tend to not feel like it was a real emotion in some regard, although it's huge, huge. So what you're doing is you kind of go back and explain to the four-year-old, you know, what happened, and let her go through her tears, go through the pain that her misunderstanding, and then just hold her and say, oh, sweetie, you misunderstood. She meant blah, blah, blah. And just love her. Just give her lots and lots. Go in the past and just give her lots and lots of love. And say, oh, you don't have to carry that, sweetie. You just misunderstood. Blah, blah, blah. And just nurture her. And you may not need to do anything beyond that. Just help her understand. Just help her understand. Oh, you sweetie, it was so sweet that you thought of it that way. But no, she meant it this way. And no, you just... you know, it isn't really what you think it is. And just love her. Just nurture her and love her. And that may clear it up.
Because and then if that doesn't, then try and move into...
If it doesn't, you know, then it's a pattern that you've taken on and continued in your life. And there's
that's true.
And then there's lots of incidents to support that being real. And you got to process the most resonant one or ones that are active, and then forgive yourself for maintaining the pattern.
Is it healthy then at that point to feel anger? Like, I understand the remorse of thinking, oh, my God, I cannot believe. And the inside of thinking, holy crap, I've done this to myself, and the remorse on it. But in terms of I can't tell if, I mean, I don't know how to be that angry at myself for being stupid enough to have thought that in the first place.
Well, you don't get angry at the 4-year-old for feeling stupid enough to have believed it. You realize...
Well, see, that's my issue right there. That's where I'm running into problems. Because I kind of feel
what
like...
What you do is you feel remorse that you've hurt yourself for all these years. That's what the remorse is about. Yes, I carried this pattern on during my lifetime, and I didn't have to, and I feel remorse that I had hurt myself.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you say that there's this whole thing of, like, missing steps? See, I get that I can feel remorseful about it, but my concern is that I'm not releasing whatever the actual emotion is.
Well,
I can't
tell
if the emotion should be anger, but I'm afraid to be angry at the 4-year-old.
First off, you don't have to get angry at the 4-year-old. There's no point in that.
Okay, that makes sense to me. That I get, yeah.
Yeah.
But then I'm not sure what emotion...
Okay, let me break it down for you. You've had a lot of... I'm just guessing, but it's probably true, that you've had a lot of painful incidents that have been generated from this, from holding on to that pattern. A lot of people have treated you badly or things have happened that you didn't like, right?
Right.
Okay. So that's what you get angry about. You get angry about those people who were dishonest or hurtful or whatever it was that happened. You release the anger on all those situations, even though you generated it. It doesn't feel that way at the time, does it? If somebody lies to you and breaks your heart, it doesn't feel like you generated it, so don't treat it like you generated it at that point. You treat it like what it was. It was a situation where a person wasn't honest with you. Okay? So you get angry at them for not being honest. But when it's time to do the self-forgiveness, you realize, oh, my God, this is my pattern. I see how it started. I misunderstood my mom, and how funny is that I maintained a pattern for all these years since that happened. Oh, my God, I really hurt myself by maintaining the pattern. Do you feel the remorse? Then do the forgiveness on yourself for having maintained the pattern, for having hurt yourself all these years. Okay?
Okay.
That's what it comes down to, yeah.
I will try.
Okay, good.
Could I just...
make one quick comment?
Please.
Way back to the beginning, there was that woman that was talking about her parents living in a war zone and how could she possibly hate them for or be mad at them for what they had to do.
Right.
I had the same thing being Japanese because all of my relatives were interned. So they have all this weirdness. And
right.
What helped me through that, I just wanted to say, because I don't know how to contradict it, was that I realized that my parents' reality and all of my aunts and uncles, their reality is that bad stuff just happened. Because that's what happened. They all got picked up in the middle of the night and interned. That happened.
Right.
So bad
stuff
just happened. And then I realized that that wasn't my reality. Even though I was living off of all of their stuff funneling into me from it and all that kind of stuff, I realized that worked for them because they had to, but that is not my reality. It's not that bad things just happen.
Yes.
That's their reality that I'm carrying forward with me.
Yeah.
And when I hit that shift, it helped me release some of the stuff around it and feeling and all that kind of stuff because, of course, that worked for them. It's true for them. You know, there's a whole generation of people where that was true for them. And,
I remember,
and they had to do. Yes, I'm sure. So I just wanted to, when I heard that, I wanted to say, because she was wondering how to get past it. That was one of the things that helped me. I don't know if it will help her, but I just wanted to share that insight for her. And thank you.
Really
and thank you.
It.
Just thank you.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Okay, Pam. You there?
Yes. Richard, would you... about the YouTube video and then the Gabriel Cousins for the blood sugar issues.
Oh, yeah. Gabriel Cousins, can't remember the name of his place, but it's in Arizona. I think it's Eden's Hot Springs or something, but just look up Gabriel Cousins diabetes and you'll find lots of links online.
Okay. COUSINS, just like Cousins?
Yeah, I believe so. And,
okay.
And just look up,
and then,
I think he has a book called There Is a Cure for Diabetes, where people can do it themselves. And he's worked with a lot of type 2 diabetes, and people just recover really fast. And in the movie, the doctor was like totally amazed that the woman's blood sugar had normalized. And he said, well, I don't know what you did, but, you know, keep doing it. This is really good. You know, he's very pleased. He wasn't one of those closed-minded people. He said, hey, if it works, you know, I mean, who might argue with that, right?
Does it work for hypoglycemia also?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Hypoglycemia is just a less evolved version of diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
It's an earlier version.
Cure for Diabetes, Gabriel Cousins. And then you also mentioned Amber Lyon. I guess it's L-Y-O-N and then Bill.
L-Y-O-N. L-Y-O-N. Uh-huh. And you can look up a podcast with her and Joe Rogan, and there's another one I was just listening to a bit this morning with a guy named Duncan Trussell. And these are two podcasts. And
can you spell those names, Joe and the other one? Would you mind
Joe,
spelling those?
R-O-G-A-N, Joe Rogan.
Okay.
And he's an interesting character, and he's got the most popular podcast on iTunes, I understand. And he's a big believer in personal growth, good food, and psychedelics. So, and he's an MMA commentator, and he used to be on the TV show The Fear Factor. So, which he thought
and
was kind
of this morning.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast with Amber Lyon again, and the podcast is the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. It's called.
Duncan Trussell, T-R-U...
U-S-S-E-L, or something close enough to that, and you'll find it.
Okay.
And he's very much into Ram Dass and healing and spiritual honesty and things like this. And he's often on Joe's show as well, so they're good friends. But this is very interesting. Amber is just really an interesting person. I wrote her a letter and... You know, I never expect to get replies anymore because I write so many letters and most people aren't interested in what I have to share, but I think she may know a reporter who would be interested in looking at what we're doing. But maybe not. You know, it's just putting out, just planting seeds and maybe some will sprout.
Right. Well, thank you. And one other question I wanted to ask you, a couple things. When you were talking about relating to different parts of your body, like for the heart palpitations or high blood pressure, would that be like matters of the heart, like emotions?
Yes,
with the heart
yes,
issues?
Emotions with the heart. You see how easy that
and
is?
Then,
And then the blood pressure, what does that mean? Pressurized emotions?
Well, yeah, look at, but it's heart pressure, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what blood pressure is. It's, and what is blood? Blood is your family, right?
Right.
It's my blood. Right. You're my blood. Blood is thicker than water, mm-hmm. you know. It's my blood. Family pressure, you know.
Okay.
Now, that's a generalization. Okay. These are paint-by-the-number ideas that don't tell us very much, but they can guide us and give us some ideas and direction of where to look.
Okay. Now, one other question. If you're working on something and you get through it and then you find that you're still having the same beliefs, same emotions, do you go back through the same thing and just
look
redo
for
the
what
whole process or what?
Yeah, well, look for what you left out. Look for what you missed.
Okay.
Look to see what got skipped over or what didn't go deep enough or what or how the symptoms are a little different now. Now, this is where humility plays a big role. Humility, the ability or willingness to see things for the first time. To see things for the first time. What does that mean? It means, oh, what didn't I see last time? Or what's different this time? Okay, so we talked about someone who had like neck and TMJ issues. Well, it's different this time. Yes, it's the same symptom, but it's different this time. What's different about it? And there's clues in the differences. Or like I mentioned, the guy with the environmental allergies. Every week or two, the allergies would start coming back, maybe 20% of what they had been. What's different this time? Oh, you know, that's what the issue is.
So there might be a different emotion, or you didn't complete the process well enough.
Yeah.
So you could just really kind of walk back through it and see what comes
up
the second time.
And try to see what else comes up. Try to see what's new this time.
If you're still having anger, you know, at your parents, for instance, you could go back through and still process additional anger, and something else might come up the next time, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. And thank you so much for this work. This is awesome stuff. This has been great. So
yeah, it's a pretty surprising discovery that something so simple could be so profound.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, and I've had people bring this to my attention, what do they teach a person trying to become a psychotherapist? And you know what? It isn't this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, tell me about your dreams, and let's talk about your childhood, and, you know, what are you thinking this week, and, you know, what did your wife say, and, you know, it's like, what? Are you kidding me? And you're kidding how much an hour for that? You know, like, and that's what you went to school for? And you just don't have any opinions about anything. You say, I see. What else do you think about, you know, what else comes up for you about that, you know? And it's like, I'm paying you for this? Just to sit and talk. So,
mm-hmm. And when you're working through this, if you need additional help, I mean, since this is so brand new, I mean, are there people that coach you through this? I mean,
We're working on creating coaches, and in the meantime,
right.
You'll have the list of the people in the workshop you can, you know, bop heads with and stuff. And it just gave me an idea of helping the coaches by providing them access to some of the other audios that we've recorded about the seminar. So that might be a good way to help the coaches get more depth on it, too.
Okay, great.
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
So the people who want to actually take the training and become real coaches, they're going to be doing the workshop more than once, and they're going to get very familiar with it.
Right. Yeah, I think you do have to do it more. It's because this is so new. It's like we're all learning it together. So,
well, it's a new language. You're learning how to think in a different kind of way, how to figure things out, and how to assist people through the process.
Right.
Very good.
Thank you.
Devin, where are we? How are we doing?
Well, we only have a couple more minutes left. I do have a question from somebody who couldn't be on the call. I'm not sure if you can answer it or not without particular context, but she wanted to know how you release feelings of smallness, powerlessness, and helplessness.
Okay, all of those feelings would make me feel very angry. And so what I would do is I would transform them into the core anger that generated them. And then process out that anger to the appropriate people who made me feel that way.
Right.
Are there any announcements you want to tell the group before we have to sign off?
Yeah, let's go ahead and press 1 if you want to be on the contact list that I'm going to create for everybody so that you can continue working with each other. The Facebook group page that was created, I can't find myself. So for now, just join the Self-Created Health group page. And once we figure out what the private group will be, we'll post it on there. But I'm having trouble finding it myself. So for now, we'll do the email exchange and join the Self-Created Health Facebook group page. And Richard, you can finish up. I'm going to
You can collect the names or do a screenshot of it, and you'll have them right there immediately. Just do a screenshot, and you'll have them right there. Hey, everybody, thank you all so much. This has been a fantastic workshop. It's really interesting because this is the very first moment of the entire call that no one has their hands up, and it's just as we're completing it. So Devin, why don't you put everybody on speaker?
Okay, hold on 1 second. Okay, go for it.
Hi.
Hey, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.